The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Yeah. Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Another great show of Patriots Talk coming up from 12 to 2 here, as you know, because you're listening. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. And the Bills coming up on Sunday, although the weather here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough is absolutely awful. Woke up to about 5-6 inches of snow I had to dig out of this morning. It's now turned to rain, but, I mean, the wind, it's sideways rain. The wind is howling. But this Sunday is supposed to be beautiful. It's supposed to be low 50s, sunny. So no worries for the Bills coming in this Sunday. Weather should not be a factor, but as Bill Belichick said, I'm no meteorologist. So.
Freddie and I were leaving yesterday, Andy, and it was, like, unbelievable. The rain was just ridiculously sideways coming down, the wind. And we were looking out the window like, I'm not sure you could play a game right now.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, this would significantly impact any game. I don't care who you are.
But you play it.
You were not throwing the ball right. Accurately in that weather yesterday.
Wear your long cleats. How much snow did you guys have when you woke up this morning?
I got nothing.
Oh, yeah, you were in Dartmouth?
I got very little.
Because we're always on that line to the Cape.
But, like, I heard on your land, like, parts of it can have one weather and you can have
parts
different
weather.
Parts
of it going hard.
Right. I mean, it's like different time zones even, right?
I actually thought this wind was more consistently strong than the hurricane.
Oh, absolutely.
The gusts were worse than the hurricane,
sure.
But this was, like, nonstop wind.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There was never, like, a wave and then a stop. It was
always
blowing.
Yeah, I literally had a shovel this morning.
Yes. Oh, I did. Yeah. But I didn't have that much snow. I just wanted to.
What were you shoveling?
No.
Well, you said, what he usually shovels.
Well, I heard you say 5 or 6 inches of snow. Yeah. I mean, I had like an inch or two.
Oh.
I just didn't want to.
I don't bother shoveling.
Well,
that'll melt. Especially when, like, by Monday they said 70.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to knock on 70.
Well,
on Monday.
It could be like 60 for the game. Like you said, low 50s. I heard high 50s,
it's
maybe
gonna be beautiful.
Low 60s.
Nice. That's
just
good.
New England.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get a ton of snow. It sounds like you got a little bit more snow here.
Yeah, this was from here
I,
to Worcester was kind of the. I think Worcester had no school today because of snow.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, we had school, no problem. But yet, like walking yesterday, leaving the park, leaving the building to go to your car, like you couldn't walk with your head up. The wind was blowing so hard and just whipping the. It was like little pieces of ice hitting
you. Did you do
in
a mock like weather report? I'm standing here in the
heart
of the
Shelby
storm.
Scott. Yeah. It was a good storm yesterday. Good storm.
How long did it take you to get home?
It took me roughly an hour to get to the radio station yesterday. Normally it takes me about a half hour, 40, maybe like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it took me a good hour and 20 minutes to get from the radio station to home.
Yeah. It took me about an hour to get from home
to
home, right? Route 1, we weren't moving.
It's because your little hybrid was all over the place?
No, I would have been if we were moving.
So you were in electric mode the whole way.
Right.
I think a lot of people took today off because the traffic wasn't bad this morning. I was anticipating a disaster, but it wasn't too bad. Although I was behind a very bad spin out on 128. Some girl in the left lane going way too fast,
texting.
Probably, I think she might have hit a puddle, and all of a sudden she was probably about, you know, I don't know, she was a good, maybe like, not a quarter mile, maybe like an eighth of a mile ahead, and all of a sudden we see her, just her whole backside just turns and fishtails. She spun and then she veered to the left and hit, you know, those orange like utility barrels.
Yeah.
She hit like two of them. They went flying into the middle of 128. Oh. So everybody's like, and you don't want to like really be going
right.
really hard,
right.
you know, one way or the other. But
then all of a sudden it's an 18 car pileup.
Right. And you know, you get the little adrenaline rush going when you're behind one of those. But
Rubin's racing.
She was able to get to the side and she ended up smashing against the Jersey barrier. But I don't think she hit the barrier all that hard.
I was coming from your neck of the woods once, Paul, and driving down the highway, and you know those pickup trucks, they have the cover, the plastic cover over the back of it.
Oh, one of those came off.
Flips off and comes right at me.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh no, there's nothing you can do.
It's like one of those mayhem commercials.
Yeah, luckily it just went over my car.
Well, not for the guy behind
you.
Not luckily for him.
Yeah.
And Fred just kept going, ooh, that was a close
one.
Deidre actually had a, she was behind a flatbed, one of those that picks up cars.
Yeah.
And a huge metal thing went through and stuck in the windshield right in front of her. Like, she literally could have been...
That's one of my big... I will not drive behind one of those trucks because of that.
Yeah.
So he doesn't walk over grates in the sidewalk and doesn't drive behind trucks.
Yeah, that's
no wonder it takes him so long to get to work.
Both of those,
oh, there's a truck. Got to get out of the way.
No, not trucks. The trucks that have... you're talking about the big trucks with the
I'm
cars on them,
I'm exaggerating.
Right?
It's what I do.
All right. Yes.
I don't. I have a fear, an abnormal fear of one of those cars coming loose.
And you have a lot of abnormalities.
Oh, yeah.
No? Like, Kevin's nodding. Well, that's not necessarily...
You. That's your boy.
Not necessarily a point in my favor, but that's okay.
Yes, this is PFW in progress. 508-298-0398.
AAA Tire Talk.
Is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. Now, guys, they moved the locker room access to this afternoon.
Yes.
Which is unusual for Thursday.
It is unusual.
But it's an unusual week because we had Tuesday access. I don't know what the hell's going
on.
They're
probably going to be inside again. Or are they waiting for the storm to pass so that they can go outside?
Well, I don't think they're going to start practice that late in the day, would they?
I was anticipating
that. Oh, that's right. Practice is still going to be at noon, right?
Yeah, I was anticipating we're going to get them after practice, which
means
they're gone. We won't get to talk to anybody.
They'll be walking out when I came in for this.
Yeah.
Okay, so they are probably
going to
be
inside. Are they inside again?
I would imagine.
Yeah, I know Bill did say your thing yesterday, Fred.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be nice on Sunday, so there's no need to try to practice. Although I don't really think they would have practiced outdoors yesterday regardless. That's one of those things. If we have to play in the game, we'll adjust. I mean, it was so bad yesterday at practice time that – I don't think you could have gotten any instruction in.
Well, I saw the goalpost like this.
implemented any kind of a game plan in those kind of conditions. I don't see how you could do it.
Yeah. So we really don't know anything
playing
more
the Bills.
Than
who cares?
Although I did,
we don't need a game plan. We're playing the Bills.
I did notice the injury report came out yesterday, the first one of the week, and both teams list about 20 players. So I emailed somebody who, you know, internally, and I said, so are we now at the point where teams are just going to start mocking the injury report, and they said it looks like that.
Well, I mean, that's what Harbaugh said.
Yeah.
We're going to treat it like Bill's made. Bill figured it out before the rest of us did.
If you want it to be done, you know, with somewhat legitimacy, you got to stop finding teams. Stop. Because now this is what's going to happen. Okay. All right. You know what? I bumped my knee when I got up from my desk today.
Yeah. Hangnail was the word that Harbaugh used.
Knee.
Every hangnail.
Well, you say you got to stop finding teams or make the rules legit, right?
Yeah.
And one or the other?
Well, to me, I would just eliminate the injury report, but they're not going to do that.
But you can't do that.
Why?
Because then the information becomes valuable.
Okay, again, now what has happened to your product?
Gamblers, run them up.
Exactly.
Yeah. No,
that's,
I know.
That's one
I know.
Reason.
I know. It happens all the time.
And then you got abortion.
It's such a bad situation.
No, but I'm serious. That is the spirit of the injury report is to,
yeah, well,
to
you
render
that's a dumb
that
question. When did the injury report start?
I don't know.
My guess is like 1962, you know, and we just
I
said,
just
well,
wanted to know if there was a phase before the
no,
injury
we
report.
We did it, so we did it then. We have to do it now. I just think it's another one of those things that the time has passed.
Do colleges have injury reports?
No. Maybe that's why they have so many betting scandals. Or is it because the college kids don't have any money?
Right.
That might be the reason.
And it's a lot easier to
be
around
them. You're not saying that gambling isn't a multi-billion dollar business.
Of course it is.
Of course. Okay, then. You know.
You're not naive enough to think that a piece of paper prevents any impropriety from happening, do you?
As long as I don't think it prevents all impropriety, but it renders some of that info less valuable.
Why?
Knowing someone's hurt becomes less valuable.
And if you could have a gambler, and if gamblers could find out what actually is happening in terms of the health of a team, you don't find that more valuable?
Absolutely. But okay. That's
so
the
do you think that, do you think there's any more or less attempt by gamblers to get the information that's not on that sheet?
But the spirit of the sheet
no
is,
further questions.
The spirit of the sheet is to show what is actually happening. If teams are lying,
no, but the spirit, well then why is Ed Reed being fined? He was going to play.
Right.
No matter what. And he played,
it's
right?
It's not any
right.
more valuable for a gambler to know he has a torn labrum if he's going to play every snap right. of every game. And that's what he's done. It's just like Tom Brady's right shoulder injury.
True, but and in that case, I agree with you.
But they were fined
but
for
But that's
that.
What they were
no,
fined
no,
for.
No, I know. But in the case, but in what they would argue, and they can't, that's the problem with this whole thing. The league can't actually say what they're thinking. They won't mention the gambling, but it's on their minds constantly. If the league actually said what they were thinking in terms of Ed Reed, they would say, look, even if a guy is going to play 100%, but not at 100%, you know what I mean? His physical ability, that means something to a gambler. That little edge, they're looking for any little edge they can get.
I think the bigger issue, and Harbaugh was right, is the wording that says, like, especially a key player. Well, who's
I agree with him. I agree. I agree.
Now we're rating players. Bill doesn't rate them, but apparently the NFL does.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The whole thing behind it is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they deserve what they're getting. Mockery. That's what
they
deserve.
Maybe that's what they want.
They deserve to be mocked.
Maybe they want confusion.
I applaud Belichick. I said this years ago when he started really doing this. And I applaud the guys.
And he got it from Parcells, by the way.
And I applaud the guys that are doing it now. Yeah. I applaud Harbaugh. I think that Chan Gailey did a little of it with Mario Williams earlier in the year. I think these guys are right. When something is stupid, you should call it out as being stupid.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think it's stupid, you know, to have injury reports. I just think it's stupid the way they administer it and enforce it and regulate it.
Now, did you guys discuss this yesterday?
No.
No. Because I was just wondering, one of the things Harbaugh also brought up is the one that people kind of always have on the periphery is the HIPAA thing. Is this some sort of violation that players
right.
have their medical?
Right.
Now, I don't agree with that because, again, if you don't want it out there, don't play for an NFL team. Like, that's kind of comes with the right. territory. Your health isn't really your personal health. It's the team's value.
Right.
But he brought that up. So at least, well, he might have just been in a rant, and that was the next thing on his agenda. I don't know.
I think, you know, it's kind of understood you're playing a sport.
Right. Your health is no longer your health.
That's where I'll cut ties with the coaches, because the day you convince me the coaches care about the HIPAA laws,
right.
and that's why they don't want that information out there.
Right.
GA in South Carolina, did any of you guys see the picture of the Bills injury report that Three Wise retweeted out yesterday concerning Eric Wood? If you haven't, I wouldn't ruin it by attempting to explain it. Have fun with this one, Andy. Did Eric Wood have some type of funny description?
I don't know. How do I find that? Who's Three Wise? Lindsay?
Yeah. Come on. Has she been gone that long?
I don't know. Why is she tweeting about the Patriots and the NFL
show? She tweets a lot. Come on.
I don't follow her.
I did read Jackie Britton, who said she's a Southern girl who doesn't know how to drive, and people were honking and tailgating her and flipping her off as they went by her on the road.
Oh, by the way, while you looked that up, that thing you retweeted this morning was hysterical.
Tremendous. It took the last one and just elevated it so much further.
Oh, yeah.
The subtlety in it, you read all the emails, but you saw the chat, right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, that
to me,
hysterical.
That was the funniest part.
I know. It's
Could you
like,
scroll
know,
through that
every
chat?
No, you
oh,
can't.
Oh, no, it was like a screen capture.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I found a couple of things.
And I think
funny.
This time it's going to be as viral or something.
We're talking about the Tebow funny. Lost emails. Like, I know. I put every time I put it back, I think this time it's going to spiral, and it doesn't.
I laughed then, out loud so long on that one.
I laughed when it was something like, and then Larry gets back to the huddle, and he's very mad at me.
Right. And then Larry's all mad and everything. Right.
And I liked the commissioner one, too. The re
right.
was like a oh, reply
was,
to yeah. people stop, that swore.
Stop sending
that.
It's not and you can tell he's saying it's not illegal to swear.
It was really well done.
A couple of them. Like, I thought the Cromartie one was really funny. You know, one of my kids I lost. You know.
We're talking about the lost Tebow emails. Josh Halpern writes for
Grantland,
but he's more famous for SH blank T, my father says.
Oh, I didn't know that was him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he started that.
Because I read his book. His book was very funny.
Yeah, so he's now writing some columns for Grantland, and this was one. It's more of a visual thing.
Was there anything else? Because you guys were alluding to the different things that I needed to read. I read all the emails and I read the chat.
There was an ad up top for benches. These are the ultimate benches for sitting on. It was an app for benches, which was funny.
I did see that.
And then the tabs across the top, the Christian Mingle, you know. And I like the one from Aaron Rodgers. I found this great site about Jesus.
It was spelled Petruni.
P-E-T-R-U.
Don't you have a link to the injury report from yesterday? The one that was sent out by PR? That's what she's alluding to, was the injury report.
I thought it was. Oh, I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know. Eric Wood. I don't know.
Got no
idea. But yeah, check that out.
Oh, there she is.
If you follow Andy, is it Jumbo Heart or PFW Andy now?
Jumbo Heart.
Jumbo Heart.
He couldn't do it.
Yeah. Jumbo Heart. Follow him, and he's got a link to the Josh Halpern thing. Usually, you know, you snicker. I laughed out loud at some of these things. It was just very funny. The whole presentation was well done. what?
For Eric Wood, center, the injury is listed as Wood.
So maybe he's taking Viagra and he's got one of those 24-hour erections.
No, 4 hours or longer is when you start to worry.
Four hours.
24 hours, you're really in trouble.
Right.
It does say Wood.
Okay. Poor guy.
But he did have full participation, which is impressive if you have Wood to run around in football pants.
And no one wanted to block him. Oh. Or get in his way.
And he's the center, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, maybe he was excited that Fitzpatrick was, you know, there.
Okay. All right. What? All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0298.
It's okay if he comes up with all the moronic ones.
Ace Ticket Hotline. What else we got before we get into emails and calls and all that stuff? Anything else?
I thought the Jimmy Johnson documentary last night was somewhat interesting, and for those of you who hadn't watched it, Bill Belichick made a cameo appearance. So they were together. Johnson and Belichick were together on Jimmy Johnson's boat. They went fishing, and they had some interaction. Johnson talked about number one rule, give me a player who's intelligent.
Right.
That was the first and foremost. Didn't care about anything else. If he was smart, then he could work with him.
He could reason with him.
He could reason with him.
Yeah.
And Bill said immediately, that's the first thing you taught me, or something like that. That's the number one thing I got from you, or something along those lines.
Right.
And I think that if you look at Bill's history, he very much has adhered to that. He's had a lot of guys. I think he's had the choices between a lot of guys that maybe were a little bit more talented and other guys who didn't have the talent but seemed to be more cerebral types, and I think he's done well with those.
And when he may have strayed from that, and I don't want to be cruel here because I don't really know, but like a guy like Lawrence Maroney didn't strike me as the brightest bulb in the box.
Well, but now we're getting back to football intelligence versus real-world intelligence.
True.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Real world, I don't think Lawrence Maroney was all that smart. I don't know how much he struggled in football IQ.
Jimmy Johnson mentioned Larry Allen as the example. You know, he had trouble.
Haley.
Oh, was it Charles Haley? I'm sorry, not Larry Allen. Why did I say Larry Allen?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Charles Haley, you know, when he took him on, people said, why are you getting this guy? He's got trouble. But they said, he's smart. He's intelligent. He goes, okay,
he smart, I'll take him. But
yeah.
Right. That was like Randy Moss would be the Bill example. Why are you going to work? Well, he's a very smart football player.
Yeah.
But I think those two things are kind of funny because, Charles Haley is one of the most gifted players, too.
Right.
So even if he was dumb, you know, I would take a shot there and see what you got. Randy Moss, he's one of the, you know, arguably the most gifted wide receiver ever to play. I mean, people could say he's more gifted than Jerry Rice.
One of the other things Jimmy Johnson said that we all know, but it's – good to hear an established head coach say it, is he goes, I was consistent. I treated everybody differently. And then he went into explaining what he meant by that. If you're good and you do everything I say and everything, you're at the top. If you're, you know, and then there's levels below that to the bottom where you're not that good
and
you don't do what
I say. You know? Which is the worst.
He told a story about the special teams guy that fell asleep in the meeting that he cut. He woke him up and cut him. And then someone said to him, you know, they asked me, what would you have done if Troy had fallen asleep? I'd have walked up to him and said, hey, Troy, wake up.
Right.
You know, no bones about it.
And so that's it. But players need to understand that.
The funny thing, like, and I know he doesn't actually rank them in his head, but the funny thing is, like, where do the groups cross? Where does the guy who has no talent but does everything I ask. You know, the Ross Ventrone, the Ray Ventrone family, where do they kind of cross over against the guy with all the talent who does nothing, you know, Bethel
Johnson?
Well,
they're probably right there in the middle.
And that's, I think, you know, they stack draft boards horizontally and vertically. I'd like to see the...
Mentally?
Yeah, like where that all falls together. Because obviously Brady is number one, because he does everything I ask, and he's immensely talented. Moss is somewhere below that, because he's immensely talented and does some of what I ask. And then Bethel Johnson is somewhat talented and does none of what I ask.
Right.
And, you know, how that would all play out.
Right. But it's interesting to hear that
instead
of the nonsense where everybody gets treated equally.
Right.
Baloney.
The Jordan rules.
Right.
And then they talked a little bit later about, you know, Jimmy Johnson brought up, you know, how it's always been a quarterback-driven league, but now it's a quarterback-driven league. And, you know, with the rule changes and stuff, all the things that we talk about here on the show a lot. And then he got in a conversation back and forth with Bill, and I think Jimmy said something like, you know, receivers, they run across the middle nowadays with no fear of retribution. They're not going to get hit. And I think Bill chimed in saying not only that, but the defensive players are afraid to hit because now you don't know what you can hit, and they're afraid to get fined and all this stuff. And, you know, again, it wasn't breaking new ground, but it was nice to sort of get a validation of some of the things that we talk about on the show a lot with our listeners, saying how maybe that's some of the insight as to why Bill looks at it and like, I got to make sure I'm better on offense because it's easier to score points than it is to stop them now. And
that's true.
You know what I mean?
Certainly true for his team.
Right. So, you know.
And ever since then, he never won again.
Yeah. And go ahead, Fred.
I wasn't going to say anything.
No,
you go.
Come on.
What?
Yeah, we went to the Super Bowl last year.
We didn't used to just go to him.
No, I know. But I just figured Fred was going to chime in there because I never know when he's on his meds or off his meds or what he's going to accentuate.
He's got his dress fly fishing shirt on today, though, I noticed. That's the one he wore to London, right?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure it is. You had that with, like, actual dress pants on.
I think you pay more attention to what I'm wearing than I do.
Oh, I do, because it entertains me.
I think that's for sure.
And maybe we could change some things if that changed.
So it was, you know, it was about Jimmy Johnson. I don't want to bill it as about Bill Belichick, but Bill did make a cameo, and I'm sure that if he didn't see it, Patriots fans would find it interesting to see him.
Yep.
I don't know if you talked about any of the various lists and things that have kind of been coming out. You know, the Pro Football Focus continuing to say Devin McCourty's a Pro Bowler, also Mayo up front. There was another list that they put out, the top 50 players so far this season. Brady was the highest Patriot at 8, but I believe Vollmer was a kind of like a top 20 player. He was really high. Just some of those lists. And Chandler Jones made somebody's midseason All-Pro team, I think. It's just those things are starting to come out if people are interested. And I would say go vote. I'm on a new campaign. I want to get Rob Ninkovich in the Pro Bowl. We know that New England has a very active online community, and can, you know, with the Red Sox, they get guys in that probably shouldn't go. I want Rob Ninkovich in the Pro Bowl. I was wrong on him. He's better than I thought he was. He's a starter, and he makes plays.
Well, he's certainly this year having
not coincidentally,
Pro Bowl
Fred,
year.
Andy talked to Rob Ninkovich in the locker room on Tuesday.
No, but that's actually why I wanted to talk to him.
Was he nice to you this week?
Oh, no.
Well, he's never always, not been nice to me.
He's always.
And I always felt bad saying I think he's a backup. I think he's a borderline rotational guy. I think he's proving himself a starter. He's a starting caliber player on a defense. You know, I'm not saying he's the best in the world, and Chandler Jones probably has a bigger upside and all that, but he's held up at defensive end like I wasn't sure he was going to be able to, and he's continued to make plays.
Well, that's the thing. He's doing what you've said this defense has lacked, is playmakers and making plays.
And he's a playmaker. Get him in the Pro Bowl, damn it. Vote for him. Patriots.com. Find the link.
Not that this affects the amount of plays that he's made, you know, because he has made some impact plays, but he did got confirmation yesterday that there was a discrepancy in the sacks. He does have one fewer. And Brandon Spikes has the one.
Okay.
Because the league stats listed Spikes with one sack and I believe Ninkovich with 5.
I don't know. Yeah.
And they added up to the same total that the Patriots had one more for Ninkovich and nothing for Spikes. Evidently the league was right.
Okay.
Still, he's a Pro Bowler. I don't care about that one sack. He's a Pro Bowler.
Fat Pat writes in about the injury reports. He thinks the reason why the NFL keeps it is because of fantasy football. I don't think so. I think definitely fantasy football people live and die by those lists, but the injury reports were way before fantasy football.
But it obviously is a factor.
It's a factor now.
Because the league definitely catered some of its
I got to be honest with you. I think that's more of a reason to keep it than to keep Vegas out of it.
Now, how does fantasy football work? Can you... update your roster after the 90-minute mark when inactives come out? You can update till game time, right?
I don't know.
Now you can't. I don't think you can do it.
Kevin would know.
Now that the Thursday games are every week, that's the deadline for making your roster.
No.
No, that's the deadline for
Thursday. Thursday night.
Really?
Yeah. 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 No, you can make moves, but I don't know when it locks. I thought it locked at noon, so that would give you a half hour.
Yeah, Kevin. When Kevin gets off the phone, we'll ask him. He'll know.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Well, doesn't he go in all those different leagues? Nice. That's all he does. I mean, during our pregame social, he's like laughing and clapping about random things.
About
that
guys getting carted off with career-ending injuries.
Yeah, he's very Fred-like in that regard.
Okay.
Okay, what's that, okay. Fred?
No, I'm just a lot of interesting.
He's breathing heavy.
A lot of interesting
scrolling
emails
through
coming.
Emails, he's breathing heavy. I had a doctor's appointment today, Fred.
Kevin,
physical.
How late can you update your fantasy football roster on Sundays?
Right till like the game starts.
That's what I thought.
Like
so you can wait.
So you
till
can wait till the inactives are out.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you can adjust accordingly.
So that kind of poo-poos that argument. You don't
and
need
you just
an injury
have to have
report.
Your. Well, if you have guys in the Thursday night game, you just have to have your
Why
lineup
doesn't?
Set for those guys on Thursday. Not everybody.
It doesn't poo-poo it because if you have time to, you know, plan and strategize, you want. You know, if you can get advance info on a guy's not, you know, hurt or whatever, it's better than waiting until the injury report. Inactive list.
Well,
comes
out. What stinks, Freddie, are those Monday night games.
You can plan to strategize, make trades with other people.
Well, I mean, you there's a certain time that you can make a trade, but
right.
I don't know.
You set your roster, and Kevin is saying, and I have no reason to doubt it, that you can do it right up before game time.
My point is, you wouldn't be stuck with all these guys that were inactive.
That are inactive. Oh
man,
because
I
you
had
know,
him up
90 minutes before kickoff. They're going to
go change it. I got to make it. And I also think, you know, not here so much, but in most places, the media is aware of injuries. Guys that are practicing and aren't practicing, you know, it's out there. It's not like it's forbidden information.
How many times did they tell us during the pregame social? The other guys will say, well, yeah, he won't play today. He will. And,
right.
Yeah. You know, with very few exceptions, they're right.
Yeah. The worst are the guys that do play hurt. And then within the first 5 minutes of the game, like Jordy Nelson the other week.
Well, that's when you're making but he got
a judgment call.
But he got injured in that
game.
It's
a different injury. Yeah,
it was a different
problem. Just to use an example, Fred, like so the Monday night game, Antonio Brown, the Pittsburgh wide receiver, he's iffy. So I have him on one of my leagues. So I'll wait all through the weekend games. And then if he doesn't play, like 5 minutes before the game, I can go pick up Emmanuel Sanders or Jericho Cotchery and plug him in. So
as long as but you have now you're limited to just the players that are playing
exactly.
that night.
Yeah,
right.
So
right.
The Monday night games kind of stink.
Right, but it has nothing to do with the injury report.
That's just because the games have already been played.
Right,
and it cuts down the players available.
Yeah, the Monday night games are always tough when you get a guy that's hurt because
you don't have a big list of players to replace him with.
Yep.
Yeah, but if you know Friday night that
all right, let's save it for the fantasy
out,
football experts.
Then you could make a move sooner.
True. I mean,
and have
I could,
a better pool of players.
So if I know sooner, Freddie, instead of just picking up a guy off the scrap heap, I could go try to make a trade.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right. They should have the injury report. It's great. It's the best thing they've ever done. It's integral to the success of the National Football
League. I could care less about fantasy football. I'm that to me is not.
There's
the
nothing
reason
more
to have
useless
the
than the injury report. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
It's a useless anachronism.
Why do they do this, Paul, then?
Why do they do a lot of things?
Why is it so important to the league, then?
Your answer is as good as mine. I don't know.
Well, what do you
Gambling
think?
Gambling is as good a reason as any. I think it's dumb.
Okay.
I don't think it affects the amount of importance that information is. Accurate information is always going to be important. And
right.
The injury report is never going to be accurate information.
Okay. Well, that's another issue. That, you know, and I would probably agree with that. But
along those lines, you guys.
So end the charade is what I'm saying.
You guys
may make it right.
But you can't make it right.
You may have spoke about this while I was on the phone, but do you ever notice, and this is a big fantasy thing with, you know, Bill and Todd, on the injury report, you rarely see doubtful anymore. It just seems like everyone's questionable.
They're all
especially on our injury report.
Right.
Well,
you know why?
Why?
Because you need to divide up the questionables. So half of them play and half of them don't.
Right.
Okay.
Because they check your percentages.
If you waste one of those by calling them doubtful,
then
you have to have another guy who's questionable not play.
They check your percentages at the end of weeks and years and
that's
games.
Another reason why
that.
It's ridiculously
stupid. Yeah, I agree with you.
It's like taking the MCAS.
But the only thing I'll say is your argument is like you can't control it. You're never going to be able to control it. Is sort of like the marijuana argument. There's always going to be a ton of people smoking pot, so we might as well just legalize it and let everybody do it. We're
like,
never going to be able to control it. And that's kind of that argument. Keep trying to fix the control or keep trying to fix the injury report so that it's actually
valuable. Argument is I don't really think at its best it's of any value to anybody. I don't really think it's necessary to anybody. That should matter in the National Football League. That's what I'm saying.
Thanks, Bill.
The games. It doesn't matter to your product.
The NFL.
I don't think they should be worried about gambling. I don't really think that that's what they should be, you know.
Do you think there's gambling in the league right now? And I mean, like, in the league. Like, is there a direct connect between gamblers, illegal gamblers, and the NFL right now with either players, trainers, somebody that
remember?
I'm not going to be naive enough.
That out.
Yeah,
either.
I'm not going to be naive.
Well, that's
enough
what I'm asking.
No.
What about like some equipment manager who's in the know selling the information to another team?
I mean, there's all kinds of scandals. Again, none of that stuff is going to be prevented by an injury report.
It's the kind of stuff that we would have seen in playmakers had they allowed it to go on.
By an accurate injury report, it would be prevented.
But no, if it's the information that the inside from the equipment manager, it's not going to show up on the injury report.
What I'm saying is if there was no injury report, an equipment manager could sell who's injured to another team. If it's an accurate injury report,
still do that, though, right?
Then he can't.
Right.
Then the information becomes...
Right. Fred is saying if the injury report were totally valuable,
an enormous change.
Knew literally it was, that's the God. That's the God's truth right there. He has a third degree this, and he's this and this. His percentage is... Yeah, then you're right. I agree with you.
No, but that's not fantasy land.
Well,
we have this third degree separation here. He's going to be out 1.2 weeks. I mean, that can't happen.
I mean... I guess it could, theoretically, if you didn't have team doctors anymore, you had league doctors, and everything went through a central medical source, I guess you could have that.
But, you know, that's the spirit, to render the information about injuries, you know, value, you know, of no value. Having that, you know, having no secrets so that you can't use it. You know, that's the whole idea. Whether or not they can accomplish that.
Maybe brought up something interesting just now with... Eliminate team doctors.
Oh, yeah. Have it centralized.
Have it be by a centralized, you know, independent.
Well, now.
Medical.
That opens up another can of worms because now if I'm a paranoid head coach.
You think the doctors are on the take?
I'm thinking.
No,
well,
but if everybody has.
I don't want a central information database of my. Because who's looking at that?
The whole league.
Well, that's I don't want that.
Well, you just
said
that's
what
you wanted.
A perfect injury report.
I said if I'm a paranoid head coach, I don't want that. Not me. I'm talking for this is where the other.
But you can't possibly believe that and be in the league because the league can request your practice tape at any time.
True.
And if you're that paranoid, then you think why are they requesting that?
Well,
are they sending that to Chan
Gailey?
What the hell's going on there?
Right now,
the offices are in New York.
Okay. Wouldn't you say that
it's no more paranoid than your thing?
Wouldn't you say right now that being a team located in New England in Boston has an advantage when it comes to medical? We have access to supposedly the best hospitals in the world?
No.
Isn't that an advantage?
I'd want to be in Birmingham or wherever Dr. James Andrews is now.
Well, that's for one particular types of injury.
I don't know. It seems like every big sports injury goes to him.
No, I don't think there's an advantage of where you are.
You don't think so?
Plus, there was such an advantage that Brady went to Dr. Ella Trache.
Not in this day and age where you can have anything done anywhere you want.
Well, what about just...
By the way, the league doctors could be Boston.
That's when the procedure comes, but having the evaluation done by... And I'm not saying this is true. I'm just saying what the perception might be. Harvard-trained doctors is an advantage to having them trained by San Diego University doctors. Is that an advantage?
I think the Boston Medical is obviously considered to be among the best, if not the best. But I don't really see that as being an advantage. Anybody has access to those guys. They're not exclusive.
Not on a daily basis.
Certainly like, wasn't an advantage
anytime
for the Red
you want Sox. It. Anytime you want it.
The team doctors for, San Diego isn't coming from Mass General Hospital.
Oh, no. But if that's not the same thing that you just said.
You know? Well, Mass General Hospital, isn't that a Harvard affiliated hospital?
And Andy's,
I have no idea.
Andy's whole thing there that I found interesting was eliminate the Harvard doctor and the San Diego doctor. You have just one medical organization, whatever you deem it to be, and all the access, all the records are all in one.
No, I
and they're going in that direction with the
file. It's just like the
independent neurosurgeon.
It'd be just like the wires service.
I know that's what it would be, eliminating that. But if I'm Robert Kraft, it's like, no, I want to keep my advantage of having my Dodgers.
I don't see
be the
that
best.
As an advantage. I mean, if you do, then that's fine. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing. You know, there's other things that would open up if you made a central medical.
I think there are great doctors all over the world. I don't think they're just they're limited to Boston.
And I don't think that would really be a benefit on minor or short term injuries. You could argue, okay, I had Logan Mangan's ACL repaired by a better ACL guy that's going to shave a month and a half off recovery. Most of what we're talking about isn't that.
Right.
We're talking about sprained ankles, things that are week to week, as Bill would say, month to month.
The people on a daily basis.
Now I think you're arguing you want the best trainers, rehab people, and those are team employees.
Right.
Those aren't Mass General employees. That's Jim Whalen, Joe Van Allen. Those are team employees. They don't work for a hospital.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So I think those are the guys where you'd want the advantage.
Okay. Yep.
But, I do think it was – I haven't seen this video really yet about this girl who's supposedly phenomenal, ridiculously fast, dominating.
35 touchdowns.
So
–
No, she's your type of player too, Andy. 65 tackles. She's obviously a fullback linebacker type.
That's my girl. And now they have Mel Kiper and Todd McShay arguing about her.
Could she ever play in the NFL?
It'd be funny if they took this dead seriously.
Right
now.
Look, Kiper looks like he's taking it because he's got that face on where he wants to tear his face off.
Like, I want to hear her say she does not have the speed to get to the outside.
Right.
She can't get to the edge.
Well, first thing you need to consider is the level of competition.
Right. I think that would be drop dead hysterical if they did that for like a minute. Anything longer than that, all right, get off.
But she would look good in lingerie.
I don't buy the stats. Exactly 1,900
yards. Yeah. About.
And by the way, who's keeping the stats? Her dad?
About
it's Pee Wee football or whatever. It's like Paul keeping track of the picks contest. He's got the notebook.
Are you questioning the validity of the picks contest?
Every week.
And her stats.
You should.
But, Freddie, speaking about the gambling thing, just to touch on it, remember that San Francisco-Seattle game earlier when Harbaugh didn't take the safety and that's what cost them?
Yeah.
That was like, when you just said gambling, that was one of the first things that popped into my mind.
Well, popped into my mind, too.
About how,
The spread?
No, exactly. That affected. The spread was 7.5.
I know it was.
Up by, what, 7 at the time?
I know.
And either way, they're going to win, and he chose not to take the points.
No, but my question is, those things pop up, and fans and everybody, interesting. But does the league? The league has like FBI agents that work in the league that just look into stuff all the time. Do they believe that there is a connection between gambling and the NFL in this day and age?
I don't know. There's a plaque on the wall that says no gambling.
Yeah, but it's always been there.
Yeah, I know.
I'm wondering, do they actually think right now there is a connection?
I think
leads that they're pursuing.
I think that they think that there always could be, and we need to be on the watch for it.
I mean, well, I guess they're not very good at their job, though. I mean, they had that guy in Chicago who was running like a cocaine ring, and they didn't know about it, right?
Right.
Sam Hurd, right?
Yeah. He was like...
partying the Sam Hurd.
Look, I'll
Scarface.
I'll never forget, and I tell this story all the time, the old Foxborough press box. I was talking to your buddy, Ted Sarandis, Paul, about, the possibility of fixes in sports. And that little guy from Fenway Park that died, that
wow,
PA announcer, what's his name? I forget.
Carl Bean.
Carl Bean said, that will never happen. And the week later, BC got nailed.
I'm stunned.
But don't you think it's a lot easier in college?
Yes.
A lot less money involved.
Kids are stupid.
But they're on campus. Anybody can walk around a college campus and, befriend the quarterback of the team. And the quarterback of the team isn't making $10 million. He's making 0.0.
And where do all these football players and the pros come from? College.
But now they're getting paid.
They have money now. They don't need the money.
And they drive from here to their house. They're not hanging
out on a quad.
That's
why the scandals happen in college, is because they don't have money.
But the guy cleaning the socks does. And he has access to info. He hears and sees things.
Are you questioning the old guy that pushes that cart around?
I'm just saying there are people here that aren't making millions that have access to info.
Like Andy.
Oh, wait, I'll put my hand down now. So, I didn't know you said the part about access to info.
So I think it's incredibly naive to not think that it could happen if it's not.
Oh, I don't think
happened.
Anybody thinks it couldn't happen.
Right.
No, my question
is, guy you just
is it happening? Is it a legitimate? There are a lot of things that could happen that aren't necessarily happening.
Right.
Right.
I want to know I'd like to know if the league really believes that there are some gambling connections.
It's like
right
when we say, like, I wouldn't be surprised to find out that any individual player in any of the sports is on PEDs.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that every single guy in sports is on them.
No. Right. But that's why you have the testing and all that stuff. If you could trust that guys weren't taking them, you wouldn't have to have testing.
That's why you pretend to have the testing.
Right. Exactly. Whatever. Okay. Again, it goes back to the injury report. You pretend to have an injury report.
Right.
The
okay.
spirit of it is to have it accurate. It isn't. The spirit of it is to have testing eliminated. It doesn't.
You know who I think has screwed some of this up? Goodell. Because he wasn't willing to just pretend to have stuff. He actually wants to have a real injury report. And he's like fighting, swimming upstream. Everybody else is like, why don't you just relax? It's worked a long time.
I agree.
He's kind of thrown a... Although the owners keep, like, didn't they extend his contract for whatever, 10 years?
They like pushing him around.
I'm not sure they're pushing him around on all this stuff, though.
No, I think the owners get what they want. I don't think the coaches necessarily like it.
Yeah, I'm not sure the owners really want him to truly pursue, you know, gambling scandals or truly pursue, you know, steroid scandals.
Right.
I think the owners like the way it is. I think they liked the way it was before concussions were a problem.
You think he's tougher on steroids than anybody else?
No, I'm just saying some other stuff, if he ever turns his attention to steroids the way he's done in other stuff, it would be a black eye on the league. It could be a problem.
Well, certainly. I mean, I'm sure all
7 years later.
I'm sure all sports wish Jose Canseco never opened his mouth. Right? Isn't that what kind of started all of this?
To some degree, yes. But to some degree, no. I mean, how many people were you going to allow to die in baseball? You know, Ken Caminiti died.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have become pro wrestling.
True.
You wake up every morning and so-and-so on a road trip was found dead in his hotel room.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want that either. There's a fine line between, yes, chicks dig the long ball, ratings dig the long ball, and people are dying. There's right. kind of got to be a happy medium in there. And right now, the NFL's straddling that line in the last few years with the suicides and the issues there. They're kind of straddling that line where people go, I don't really like having death involved with my sports. Let's find a way to clean this up enough so they don't die.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like it's taken that.
Which
to
gets
get
back
to
me. Let's just regulate steroid use.
Freddie, you better hustle down to the locker room today after this.
Why?
Because Paul's boy Jeff Howe is tweeting that TV Azteca woman is here.
Oh, boy.
Inez.
I'd like to get Inez pants.
Oh, man.
Be crowded locker room today.
There's not much room in those pants.
A lot of Patriots will be listed with wood on the injury report.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Michael writes in from New Jersey, or Mick from Jersey, he calls himself.
Fred now, calls him Michael.
He says, hello, gents and Andy.
Screw you.
Now, I understand that Demps is on IR, but the question I have is how involved is he with the team for the season? Is he just sitting at home, or is he involved with trainers, rehabbing his injury, studying the playbook, and getting as ready as possible for next season? Or is there a stipulation that states the player cannot interact with the team until the start of next season? Demps was one of the players I was most excited to see this season from the few plays I've seen from him in the preseason. What's the rules around guys on IR? Is it team by team?
No. There's IR rules, and he can't practice.
He can't practice, but he can be here.
But I don't know whether he's here. I haven't seen him.
I can't recall seeing him. Have you seen Demps, Eric?
Yes. Not in the last couple of days, but in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Hang on. Let me fix his mic.
There it is.
Most people, when they say fix it, they mean permanently. Not for the 5 minutes, and then we'll fix it again tomorrow.
He's good.
So in the last, I'd say probably in the last month, just to be safe, I've seen him. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's allowed to be with the team. He just can't practice. So he can be in meetings and learn the schemes and the plays and all right. that stuff. And then he'll be ready for the off-season program.
Eric's here, just back from practice.
Yep.
And what do you got?
Just back from stretching.
Another indoor affair.
Same guys as yesterday, White, Bolden, Scott.
Gray waffle today, by the way.
Yeah, like a slate blue, actually.
Slate
I was going
to
say
yeah, okay.
yeah, a shade
yeah.
of blue.
Yeah. Mm. Or 50 Shades of Gray.
Ooh, well.
Have you read those?
No, but I know what they're about. It's mommy porn.
But you said, oh, yeah.
Mommy porn.
It is.
That's what it's called.
Considered.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the term for it.
Okay.
It is.
I believe you. I'm not questioning.
Did your wife read them?
No.
Does Connor read them?
No, he lives them. He's a young lad enjoying his prime years.
The only other thing of note, I guess... oddity involving Aaron Hernandez was wearing his road game jersey instead of his practice jersey. Don't know why, but he was. I don't know if he was making some sort of statement or not, or what was going on there, but...
Well, he's a father now. He has to be dressed in game attire at all times. He's got to be more responsible.
Oh, okay.
Or he lost his practice jersey, and that's the best he could do.
I don't know.
Or did some spit up on his practice
right.
jersey.
And for those of you wondering about his ankle... you know how in stretching they do the sideline to sideline jog / sprint? The last one they did, he sprinted out ahead of everybody and was going full bore and didn't seem to have any problems.
Good to know.
That was all we got to see.
We like that.
As long as he runs go routes, little intelligence, have to,
even that
have to
little
break.
Bit of information to me is valuable.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're such a fraud.
That's all we got.
Just had a big argument.
You're such a transparent fraud
about the injury report yeah. and how it's made a mockery of.
Well, yes. Not just that, but Paul doesn't even think they should have it. Period. And there's a case for
there's
that.
There's a case for that.
Yeah.
Certainly is.
I'm not ruling it out.
If you're going to make a mockery of it, then you might as well not have one.
Right.
Well, the only thing I'd say is I'm okay having something that's a mockery, but don't fine teams for something that's a mockery.
Absolutely.
That's not fair because now you're fining him. Yeah. You admit it's kind of a joke, but you're fining him for not, you know, knowing the punchline, quote unquote.
And Andy, if you recall how this all started, I said
don't.
If you're going to start doing this now and fining Jim Harbaugh and fining Chan Gailey, then eliminate it. If right. you wanted to keep doing it and pretend that it has any validity to it,
right.
I'm a,
what are they
whatever,
fining them for exactly?
Like Ed Reed was not on the injury report despite a torn labrum, despite the fact that he played it the entire, didn't miss any reps. Harbaugh knew he wasn't going to miss any reps. And by the way, Ed Reed didn't want the injury out there.
Right.
So he didn't miss time.
Right.
Nope. Didn't miss a game. Time.
Right.
And they fined the team for not listing
$20,000.
That's
right.
That's
Steven
idiotic.
Jackson
that's idiotic.
The Rams. There's been, I don't know,
Mario
half
Williams
dozen.
For
yeah.
the Buffalo.
Right.
And that's to me, especially in the Reed one.
Honestly, I thought the spirit of it, is he going to play or not? The injury report
right.
is to tell us.
If there's a question on whether
the,
or not the guy's going
right.
to play.
But now they're saying, oh, no, it's how well he will play.
Well, it's also.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
They get weirded now in this new form where it's a practice participation report early in the week. It's
right.
not really an injury report.
No.
Until
it's,
Friday,
right.
right?
And
so
then Friday it's a game status report.
If Ed Reed
report,
didn't
basically.
Miss any practice. Well, you know, he
okay.
participated fully.
So any of you can answer this question. If you are Roger Goodell, what would you do? What would be the steps for you would take to make this thing right?
I would stop fining people and keep it.
Keep the process
the
way
I can't
it is.
Make it the way you want it. Well, unless, you know, I don't think my idea is a terrible one because it's my idea. But having the centralized medical. If I care that much, then I think I go with league doctors and central medical information.
So the doctors on the team don't work for the team.
Right, you'd have
they
league doctors
league.
Assigned to the...
What about the trainers, training staff?
No, they can work for the team.
They can work for the team.
That's where you could gain that slight advantage if you have the guy who's better. Okay. You know, his plans work quicker, a week quicker, whatever. But yeah, in terms of actual injury diagnosis and treatments like that...
You should have a third party
determining
that.
And those league-paid doctors... have to report to the league on everything they know.
Now, you get into some issues here because of the CBA and the players, you know, the doctors working for the league, and you know, you might have to make it, you know, they work for the NFLPA and the league. I don't know how exactly it would be held together. But, yeah, if you really want to have some legitimacy there, I think that's the answer.
It sounds radical, but it might be the only viable solution.
I don't think it's that radical. All it is a doctor where his paycheck's coming from.
No, but I think anytime you centralize something, you know, there are issues. And I think it would have to be well thought out.
But it's no more – to me, it's not really all that. All the players go to one doctor now. It's not like they go to their own doctors. They go to one doctor.
Well, they can go to –
You can get a second opinion
right,
and
right,
all that.
Right.
But you always would be able to do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, you'd still have it.
That's like
player.
Constitutional
that's
law
right.
as opposed
right,
to
right.
You know, NFL law.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's really that different. It's just
Who do they answer to?
Right. And where does the information go? And, you know, coaches will hate it. Coaches wouldn't want it.
Right.
This guy wouldn't want it.
No.
But I think, you know, it's not always up to the coaches and the individual teams. It's up to the league and the and if it's an issue, I'm not so sure it's an issue. That's getting back to my whole thing. But if it's an issue, I think that would be a solution.
Okay. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eric, anything else before we get into some more emails? And
Locker room isn't open until 2:30, so
right.
we don't have any insight to give you from there today, sadly.
Right. Not so much sadly. I mean, we never have any insight.
Well, it sounds like you have one interesting note. You didn't hear any of this. Why'd you have a game jersey on?
Yeah, we can try to find that out if
That's
he's there.
Mildly
sure.
interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to the Jarrell Harris. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He's just been an utter disappointment since he left high school. He was like the 32nd best player in the country, was a huge recruit, played immediately at Alabama, and just never really did anything.
I found it
So he started all 4 years?
No, but he played like 10 games as a freshman and then started shortly after that.
He
started
last year and had like 32 tackles.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's never done anything. That's why. I think you're looking at an elite athlete who was supposed to be an elite football player who never did at Alabama. He's been a disappointment since high school.
Steve in Auckland writes in, if we jump back in the time machine to 2000 and 2001, What was the talk on Brady, if any? Was he a superstar in waiting or just another guy? Now, I know one of you may not remember that far back, Fred, but be good to hear your thoughts on the dude who would make this team what it is for the last 11 years.
I don't remember Brady being talked about at all until he came in against the Jets.
Absolutely. Well, he was talked about in the way that, you know, backup quarterbacks are talked about in the summer. Oh, yeah, he looks better this year. Mallett was better this year. Like people, Adam Schefter, it was a different media time, but Adam Schefter, you know, Ryan Mallett, one of the better young people were saying Brady looked better.
Right.
Not that he was going to be the starter or superstar or anything.
As a rookie in 2000, I thought that he had done enough to make the team. I thought he was going to make the team over Bishop. Now he made the team initially in addition to Bishop, and they kept four quarterbacks initially. I thought that he showed enough promise. I don't remember anybody saying, and maybe they did, and maybe someone has a, you know, a nice story to tell. I don't remember anybody predicting greatness for him.
What did Bill do now, on game days?
Was inactive all year
because they had to
deactivate two quarterbacks.
They had three active. Right,
you could do anything you want, but.
Well, I thought they had to deactivate the third quarterback at that time.
You don't have to. You chose to.
They didn't have that rule that they have now where you could have the third quarterback thing.
But before they made that rule, I thought you had to deactivate your third. You could dress him, but he had to be one of the inactive.
You could have five quarterbacks.
Matter of fact, they had oftentimes during that. Remember, Bert Emanuel was serving as the during when Bledsoe got hurt, and it was just Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And They would having Bert Emanuel as the emergency quarterback behind Heward.
Right.
So you could do that. You didn't have to do it. That year, Eric, to answer your question, when they had the four quarterbacks, Brady was never active until they had some injuries. And Freeze got Brady hurt his hand, and Freeze had to replace him against Buffalo, I think. And then Freeze, I believe, got hurt. John Freeze. In that first year.
Brady or Bledsoe?
Bledsoe hurt his hand.
You said Brady.
Oh, I'm sorry. So he hurt his hand, and Freeze came in, I want to say, against Buffalo here. And then he got hurt, and I think that's the week that they went to Cleveland. The whole, you see how big that locker room is in there? Bledsoe did his warm-up in the locker room in Cleveland. He played, and I think Brady may have been active that game for the first time. And if not that game, I know he made his debut against Detroit. In mop-up duty on Thanksgiving. He threw his first passes where I think he completed a pass to Rod Rutledge.
How the hell do you remember all that?
Because I'm a loser. If it was at all valuable, I wouldn't know it.
It is valuable,
It's Paul. Not valuable. It has no value.
It had value in the show right now. But
in 2001, to Andy's point, in training camp, he absolutely had made a jump from what we saw as a rookie. And we saw it with our eyes, and then Bill told us that we were right before the regular season started. Brady was the backup, and Heward was the number three, and the rest is history.
Right. That's what I remember, is that jump that he made that next offseason. But no one ever thought this guy was going to be great. No, there was no word of that. There was not one person that I can remember, and I'm sure someone will now claim credit for that, but I cannot remember from the time he was drafted, even to the time he went into that Jets game after the Mo Lewis hit, where people said, this guy's going to be great.
Well, and it also, I mean, again, it was a different media time, but it was also a different time in some, you know, there's been more of those, I feel like. Brady's kind of the poster child for that. You know, Tony Romo is also the poster child for that unknown, undrafted / late round pick who's gone on to be a franchise quarterback in two of the biggest teams in the country. So now you're always looking for the next one, you know, the next Brady,
well,
the next Romo.
Warner's another one.
Well, yeah. Warner was already good, kind of.
Yeah.
And Warner was a little different story because of the way he bounced around. Right. You know, Romo and Brady were brought to their teams, developed, and became franchise quarterbacks.
You think that also kind of started with running backs when the Broncos had Terrell Davis, sixth round, and then after that, teams were kind of like, oh, we need to find the next kind of.
Yeah, there's always, there's at different positions, yes, but I think Brady and Romo are very much the poster childs of that at quarterback. You know, even though most quarterbacks are first-round picks that play in the NFL, you know, who could be the next unknown that we can develop into this great player?
But if you watch that documentary that they did with the quarterbacks that came out that year, you know,
The Brady Six,
it seems to me like, and I just wasn't astute enough, and I didn't follow college, certainly Michigan, but it seems to me that Brady should have been touted as a great, you know, a promising quarterback were it not for Lloyd Carr, right? He misused him.
Well, no, he didn't misuse him.
No?
Did he misuse him by winning bowl games?
But
and
I thought he was.
He wasn't. That's the great myth. The great myth is that he didn't play. The reality is he played.
He played half the time.
He played most of the time. I don't know the exact numbers, but the record books are littered with him.
He started 25 games his last 2 years.
Right. Like
he was 20-5 as a starter at Michigan, I believe.
That's the great myth, that he didn't play.
He shared time with Henson when Henson came aboard because Carr felt like, I'm obligated to play this kid.
Right. I have an athlete. So I have an up-and-coming.
So then why?
Because they didn't think he was that good. They didn't think he had a strong enough arm. They thought he was too skinny. It's the same story
wasn't
with
mobile,
other guys.
All that other stuff.
There's been plenty of college quarterbacks who were very productive, and for whatever reason, NFL people don't believe they're going to be good.
And I wish we could get...
Russell Wilson. I mean, who goes to two separate Division I major programs, does what he does, and then people don't think he can play?
Right.
Right? I mean, he was a third-round pick, correct?
Correct.
You know, so who... You know, you could look back in 5 years and go, that's ridiculous that they thought he was a third-round pick. I mean, the guy went to two major programs and had a lot of success. They should have known he was good enough, but they make
decisions.
Montana
was a third-round pick.
Right, they make decisions on guys where they think they're going to be in the NFL, not necessarily where they were in college.
And I wish we could ever find out this. And I don't think there's any way to quantify it, and it's just be people's opinions. But I wonder what would have happened with Brady if he didn't have Belichick. How much is Belichick responsible for Brady? How much is Brady responsible for Belichick? I mean, I don't know. I wish there was some way that someone could boil that down for me, and you could get an answer.
Well, since we have a time machine, according to this guy, back twice, and the first time we keep them together, and then we
take
them apart.
It's the ultimate exercise in subjectivity. I mean, there's nothing to quantify it.
Well, the other fun one is, well, what would happen had Bledsoe not gotten hurt?
Mm.
And my belief is Bill Belichick would have been fired as the head coach of the New England Patriots, and I have no idea what Brady would be. He may never have played in the NFL.
Right, he may never
it's had entirely it. Possible that neither one of them would have had any success in the NFL.
Right, right.
Might not have
and,
had
of course, it's my opinion that
but
the Patriots would have won four in a row instead of three out of four.
You're an idiot. But I think that's part of what makes that whole thing so fascinating, this whole story that someday will probably be a movie of some sort. Based on Belichick or Brady, because it's more than just sports. It's the timing and the way it all came
it's
together.
How life,
and
life happens,
right?
Yeah.
And we talk about that all the time. The difference it makes with quarterbacks, where they land, their coordinators, how they're treated. Do they not? You know, are they thrown right to the fight? You know, what would have happened if Brady had to play all the time in 2000? You know, littered with injuries, and all of a sudden he started 12 games that year. Well, he probably would have been overwhelmed, gotten beat up, and never would have been Tom Brady. Instead, when by the time he started, at least there was a semblance of a team around him that was destined to win a Super Bowl. You know, it's the butterfly effect. I know it's cliche on this show, and we say it all the time, but
it's true.
I think it's so fascinating.
It is. All right, food's here. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval is solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Lunch today was brought to us by Mark and Cheddar. So thank you so much, Mark.
Tremendous.
Really appreciate it.
Soft, warm cookie.
And he sends in an email. He says, as it's Bills week and no one really cares about Buffalo, I'd like to ask you about something everyone cares about, the Pro Bowl. Everyone hates it and the way it works, and that somehow Merriweather could become a Pro Bowler twice. I agree it's not perfect in that the actual game is a joke, but at least it is the best of the four American leagues. I disagree with that. But anyway, I think baseball All-Star
Game. In terms of the All-Star Game, yeah. I think it's the worst of them.
Yeah, I do too.
Which one's the best?
Baseball.
Baseball's the only one that has
You can actually
any...
play baseball the way it's supposed to be
baseball's
played.
Baseball's the only one that has any legitimacy, but even that stinks.
I kind of like the NBA one sometimes. I like when they start hot-dogging, like Shaq's dribbling through his legs and stuff. Because you can do that.
Right.
I mean, that's street ball. That's what a lot of these guys do on, you know, the courts at home. I enjoy watching that. I don't – there's no way to do that with football.
Right.
There's no screwing around fun, still entertaining football.
Right. The rest have the All-Star game halfway through the season. So being named an All-Star for a season is actually only for the first half of the season. So it means people can be rubbish – for the second half of the season and still be considered an All-Star, whilst someone who had the same season but reversed would not be considered at all.
Whereas in the NFL, you can be rubbish for a full season and still make the Pro Bowl.
It seems like the most stupid idea ever. One last point about All-Stars and awards. How did Cabrera win the Triple Crown this year when someone had a higher batting average but just happened to be in the other league? Did Cabrera win the Triple Crown?
Yeah.
So he's the first person to win it since Carl Yastrzemski?
Yeah. Where you been?
I guess under a rock.
Apparently proving that it didn't get quite the attention it should have.
See, I always thought that Fred used to tease me and say, did the playoffs start? Who won the World Series? But evidently he just doesn't know.
I knew he was in the running, but I didn't know he won it.
Yeah.
No, there are two different leagues, Mark, and that's the way they do it. He's the American League Triple Crown winner.
Oh, but there wasn't a National League Triple Crown winner.
No.
Right.
No, because they don't. I mean,
but he didn't have a higher average than the batting champ from the National League.
I see. Do you
not like that?
I don't like that. Yeah. They should do this type of award for every sport. I was the winner of the most valuable New England Patriots fan who lives in Cheddar, New England, and listens to PFW in Progress 2011. So to my question, why are there so many bogus awards across all American sports?
It's a bit of a broad.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure what we're talking about is bogus.
Well,
like the Triple Crown to me is not bogus.
No, but there are a lot of awards that have a lot of it's money. They get sponsored, you know.
Like what?
All these awards.
I mean, the ESPYs, yes. The ESPYs are bogus.
Yeah.
ESPN made up its own award show.
Yeah.
That's bogus. But I don't think there's – I mean, yeah, you're right.
Comeback player of the year?
Well, no, but the more I think about, like, especially baseball, the Silver Slugger, the Golden Glove, are, like, awards that you get, like, it's Wilson or whatever is, like, the sponsor or whatever does them. Louisville.
Yeah.
So, but I think they're still genuine. They're different versions of teams. Well, part of it for baseball is what he said. If you're an All-Star, it's for the first half of the season. The awards are the full season.
Right.
You know, you get your MVP and your Cy Young, and you might have a different guy win the Cy Young than starts the All-Star game. So should he not be recognized for something?
Yep.
Yeah, and football is only 16 games. So you can wait till the end and do it a little bit easier than you can. You're not going to have an All-Star game at the end of a 162-game
baseball season. But it's still way more bogus to me. I'd rather have the midseason one. I eliminate the guys that play on the two Super Bowl teams. I eliminate anyone who's accrued any kind of injury during the course of the season.
All of a sudden, I
have Vince Young as the eighth, ninth best quarterback in a conference who's a Pro Bowler, who's playing in the All-Star game. That's a joke.
And it's not like that they played, you know, like 10 games, and then they put bad.
Right.
I mean, they play like 90 games before the All-Star break.
Right.
So that's a big – it's not a small sample size.
What
He's right. You can have a terrible second half.
I mean, does like the European soccer, do they not have like all-star teams and
not
MVPs?
Really.
And oh, well, they're flawed then.
What was the talk about –
Now I see why he says you have all these awards.
Who would make it? The guy that scored the goal?
Because they have those champions like – they have those Champions League things where the teams who have finished like in the top four of each major league – play each other for like the European title,
but
so there's not really enough time to have an all-star type of game.
Son's a bitch.
The World Cup is the closest you get because
they're
the all-stars of your country.
But that's for your country,
right.
Not your team. Not
no,
your
they
league,
don't have a
not...
league one, really.
But now I can see why he thinks we have way too many awards and all-star games are stupid.
Yeah.
They don't do it over there.
What was the talk about they may not play the Pro Bowl this year? They might not play the game?
Yeah, that was the talk. That was a couple weeks ago, and I don't really know where it went.
Right, where it went? No. Or why it started.
I love how we say, like everybody says, you got to keep it. Like, who would care if they didn't have it?
No one.
Right. So why do you have to keep it?
I think the players' union put up a stink about that, actually.
Because
they wanted to have the game.
Yeah, they want a trip to Hawaii. The first timers want a trip to Hawaii. That's what they want. And I don't blame them for that. So just give them a trip to Hawaii and call it, you know, you're an all-star.
Have a ceremony in Hawaii at the end of the season.
Make it in Hawaii so they don't
the Hula Bowl, all hula team.
They're never going to convince me they want to actually play the game. They just want to go.
No, it gets in the way of what they want to do. They want to go, like, you know, who was it? Wilfork that went deep sea fishing.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, they want to do stuff.
Didn't they say this was going to be the last one, or that, was that not?
They've said a lot of stuff.
You know what would be cool if they
did? I don't
know
that any of it's binding.
They should make that awards ceremony after the Super Bowl, like they always did the weekend after the Super Bowl, and have, like, a big, all the awards presented at that time, like Coach of the Year, comeback player. Make it a big NFL awards thing. Have it in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. That way you can invite players who aren't necessarily all-stars but who won an award. Mm-hmm. It can be a league-wide celebration of the season, and you end it in Hawaii, and you go off in the offseason.
And you can have a whole TV production.
I like it.
And your TV production can include stuff from the week.
Exactly.
You know, you have, you know, have Belichick went parasailing.
About, exactly.
Let's go see that now.
How about
exactly.
This? You have the AFC and the NFC, and you have a fleet of fishing boats, and they have, you know, sport fishing contests.
Sure.
AFC versus NFC.
All that stuff I'm talking about. And then the show, which is actually an award show, you also have pre-done packages showing that, showing whatever they did. I believe that's what NASCAR does. I believe they go to Vegas and they have an entire awards ceremony show.
And you can make it 3 hours like a regular football game.
Right.
Invite fans to come
and
see it.
Have a red carpet, have all the whole hoopla, whatever you want to do.
There you go.
Cheerleaders and tatas and everything.
Done.
Yeah, the cheerleaders could be the, you know, the women that escort them on and off the stage with the trophy and stuff. You could have, like, different teams' cheerleaders be those girls.
Or you could have it in Vegas and do it at the same time as the adult video awards.
Why do you always
That'd
have to
be really
stupid?
We really were talking serious.
Yeah, we're talking serious, and you go all of a sudden, we can't do anything that may associate with gambling, except for the fact that fantasy football is gambling and every team has a scratch ticket.
Let's get Raj on the phone.
That's a good point.
Kevin, call Park Avenue.
That's what I mean. Like, the NFL is very aware of certain facades that it keeps up, even if there's barely a 2x4 holding the facade up. Like, I think that's how the whole business is kind of run. It's kind of a smoke and mirrors and, you know.
It's a sham.
Yeah. What do they call that game where you move
the shell game?
The shell game. They kind of distract the fans from the reality of the
game
situation.
When you move the shells around?
Let's see.
It doesn't actually use shells.
Yeah.
Every time I see it, it's plastic cups with a ball.
Oh, it's originally with shells.
Yeah,
no?
I know, but I've never seen it done with shells. And where were these shells? On the beach? Is it a conch shell? Is it a...
Well, originally it was a shell and a pea. But
what kind of shell?
Like a walnut shell.
A walnut shell.
Yeah. Oh, different kind of shell.
Yeah.
Those are little. Shell. That'd be hard. You'd have to be really.
Because it was
good,
like a little. It was like only a little.
No, but I mean your hand. That'd be hard to.
Yeah, that's
grab
right,
like
yeah.
The cups are.
I know the secret of that. How they fix that.
How?
They actually what really quickly if it's let's just say it's a pea, okay, they will they show you, okay, I'm putting the pea under the middle one, and then you know you think to yourself, oh, if I have quick eyes, I can follow that. I'll follow that. But what happens is they'll open it up just enough so that the pea comes uncovered, and then they slide the one behind it over it, and then all of a sudden the pea is not under the one you thought it was.
Oh.
So they move the shell in front of the pea and move the one behind it over it. And it's really quick, so you can't see them do that. And they've actually transferred the pea from one shell to another.
So does the guy actually know where the pea is?
That sounds like a bit right
there. Yeah, he knows where it is.
Because I was just wondering, like, I think if you got so good with your dexterity that your hands could almost be moving faster than your brain would be, and you'd be like... Oh, which one is the
So it is an out-and-out scam?
Oh, it's an out-and-out scam. And what they'll do is they'll let you win one. Or they do the same thing with the three-card Monty.
I always thought that they went, you know, sort of half speed to make sure that you knew you could do it.
Right.
And then when they do it for real, they might let you win one to
encourage you to do it again. Right.
And want to stick with it. And then they do it so fast that you can't.
Yeah. No, even when they do it fast, it's only so
still
fast that your hand can – your eye is faster than a hand. So you can't follow it, but that they screw you up because
hand
they
is quicker than the eye thing is not that's a fallacy.
No, your eye's quicker, but they
says Fred.
They
fact,
they,
not
they,
not opinion.
They do move the pee.
Is that sports science guy?
They will transfer the pee, and they do it. You know,
I'm telling you, this is a bit.
Do they do the same thing when it's cups and a ball?
Transfer the pee.
No, cups and balls is a magic. is a magic trick.
I told you I'd get a bit out of this.
Usually a magic it's usually, you know, plastic or metal cups that have a little bit of an indentation in the top. So whether it's a sponge ball or a cloth ball can sit there and not fall off. And what they do is they have three cups and they rig it. They pre-fill one of the cups with a ball and they stack them. So then, you know, you don't know that there's a ball in there, and it seems like the ball goes right through a cup onto another cup. But they pre-install a ball in there. I can show it to you sometime. I used to be really into magic, and I should.
You have been a geek all your life.
Oh, I love magic. I really do.
No. This isn't just related to magic.
One of the things I do when we go to Seattle at the Fish Pier, if you go down to the bottom level in those stores, yep. mm-hmm. there's a magic store that have all the old magic tricks. You know.
Hey, boss.
I go there. I love magic. Yeah, it's good stuff.
You made Andy disappear one time.
Dog, 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 dog.
Yeah, well.
Just go.
And wrongly so, now that I learned. You can say that on the radio.
What?
You can call somebody that word.
That wasn't the spirit of it. It wasn't the word itself.
Oh. It was the fact that you referred to a patriot as that.
Right.
The reason why you were asked to leave.
Even though it was right.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
And Fred agrees with me now.
He's not a patriot anymore.
Right.
Tyrone from Delaware is on the line. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. I got 3 points real quick, and I'm going to make them quick. This Hakeem Talib thing, you guys been talking about it for the last couple of days. And
not today.
I got to agree with you again, Fred. And is no question that Hakeem Talib, first of all, I want to say I like the move. Matter of fact, no. Compared to what we got, I love the move. Hakeem Talib, I saw him play this year against the Giants and the Buccaneers. And people saying, well, he got beat for 100 and some yards. Yo, I watched the whole game. And Hakeem Nicks, the guy was competitive in almost every – he was right on him. Hakeem Nicks is the one that's making the play, but he was draped on him. We're not used to that for the last couple of last two seasons. We're not used to somebody draped all over him.
So did Talib just not turn his head?
Well, he turned his head and he made a play. But Hakeem Nicks made a better play because, first of all, he's taller. And Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz, yo, they don't make stupid. I mean, they played all the 49ers and they made them look stupid too. So, I mean, yo, that dude is way a better corner than any corner we got. Is Asante Samuel, so it's not even a no-brainer to me. I mean, I don't know what you guys thinking about, but it's not a no-brainer. He's the best corner on the team right now. I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure who you disagree.
Are you kidding
I'm
me?
Not sure who you're disagreeing with, though.
Except apparently when he faces good receivers.
I think it was Andy. I think the other day. I think it was Tuesday saying, well, because Fred was saying about.
Fred said it's not a good move if he's not better than Devin McCourty.
It what?
Fred said it's not a good move if he's not much better than Devin McCourty.
He's much better than Devin
McCourty. We all think that. We all think he's better than Devin McCourty. But Fred said
it's not
a good move if he's not better than McCourty.
Well, Andy, you're wrong. Dead wrong.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, if I grade it like you apparently grade it, where anytime he faces a good receiver, he's allowed to give up 200 yards.
Or if he's close. All I've heard for 8 weeks is about how the Patriots' defensive backs are right there to make the play,
right, they just
but they don't
do
turn
it.
Their
right.
head, which is wrong. Because they're not right there to make the play, but
true.
I agree with Tyrone. I think that if I disagree on that game itself, based on what all the Tampa Bay writers described. But if Talib is more competitive and he's around to make plays and he got beat, I can live with that. I haven't seen that out of the Patriots defensive backs through the first half, so I like this
exactly.
move. I agree with Tyrone.
But I just don't give him a pass
because
you know,
Nicks
close. And Cruz are good.
I don't care if he's competitive.
That's the whole point is to cover the good receivers.
Right. If that's where we need to get better. Now, I admit, he'll be better if he can cover average receivers because they haven't done that.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I need him to
ultimately,
cover guys that can play.
If I brought him in to be my number one corner, I need him to be able to cover number one type receivers.
Demaryius Thomas. Torrey Smith. You know, Mike Wallace.
Yeah. Where do we end the – I mean, that guy makes plays against everybody. Where is that cutoff where, okay, now we
Andre
expect
Johnson.
Him to actually win
battles? Those are the guys that we want him to cover.
Well, like I said, I saw the game, and for what we used to see for the last 2 years, I'm tell you right now, he was right. If the ball wasn't perfectly thrown, and he, like I said, Hakeem Nicks, he's a good receiver, he just – since he's bigger and he just went and go get the ball, but yo, I mean, the dude was right there. That's all you could ask for. I mean, seriously. And our cornerbacks, what we used to see, they're getting burned, and a guy like 5 yards ahead of them or some, you know, most of the time they don't turn their head. This guy is aggressive, so I don't think he's going to have that problem. And number two, I read Monday when we made the move. I read Monday because I've been saying this since last year. This make it Vince, Michael Lombardi wrote that they're going to move Devin. He said he got an inside thing when I was reading it that they're going to move Devin McCourty permanently to safety. And he
Michael Lombardi said that?
Yeah, I read it Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday I read it. And I've been saying move Devin McCourty to safety since last year because he's horrible at corner. So, because he don't look back. And since, and let's be honest, since the Jets and the Rams, he ain't been making no plays per se, but he's not saying like, oh my God, what you doing? You don't see him. I ain't really notice him. He was playing safety all game versus the Rams, but he wasn't like getting beat like crazy. So if you ask me, that's a win-win because whenever he played corner, almost every game he been getting beat.
Yeah.
And Michael Lombardi was saying that what they should do is double the number one receiver. Let's say Baltimore. What they're capable of doing now is, let's say we need the Baltimore in the playoffs, double team Torrey Smith, and I think my man Akeem Tlaib could take out Jacoby Ford on the other side.
Right.
Devin and him, Akeem Tlaib is the best corners you got. So that if I'm in a better check, which I think he's doing, that's the best way. And I guarantee you, if Akeem Tlaib play the rest of the seven games, I think we're 28th in the passing right now. I guarantee you, by the next seven games, we should probably be in the low 20s, at least 21, 20. I'm guaranteed it because, like I said, Devin McCourty, nah, you keep him at safety. I'll tell you that right now.
All right.
But, it's also because you're not playing anything.
Thanks, Tyrone. Right.
Well,
thanks
true.
For the call.
Now, a couple things.
It's interesting that Lombardi, because we seem to think that Lombardi has some access to information here.
Well, I was going to say it's interesting Lombardi says it because he said Brian Hoyer should be a starter in this league. And Brian Hoyer's now, you know, practicing locally every week and isn't even in the league.
The local YMCA.
Yeah. So take Michael Lombardi for what it's worth. Now, the other part of it is a common thought over the, you know, we've talked about it with you, Fred. It's the old tennis thing. Do I match my one with a one or a one with a two and help out the two, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Which gets a little bit more difficult to do when you have not just two receivers, when you have three receivers, four receivers, five receivers on the field. Oh, it sounds all fine and dandy. You know, you'll take their one. You'll take Torrey Smith, and you'll have help, and you have just who's got the other guy? You know, who's got Anquan Boldin? Who's got Dennis Pitta? Who's got – it's not that easy. That's my whole point with all this, with Tlaib. He'll just match up. Okay, so he's matching up. What's everybody else going to do? Like, it's not that easy.
But if there's a team that will figure it out, it'll be this one.
Why would you believe that? They haven't figured it out in 5 years.
And I also would say to
that,
they
just don't have the players.
Oh, so now it's just players.
Right, but what if they still don't?
I thought it was coaching.
Well, we're making these assumptions based on we think Tlaib can
so
play.
So you think they were one, so you think they were one player away?
What?
I mean, corners leave here and they go away be starters
what?
Elsewhere.
Away from what?
Butler's going to start
winning
tonight
it all.
For the Colts, right?
I think that if they had a good corner in that Giants game, they would have won that game. Yeah,
okay.
Would have overcome.
Or
Gronkowski
if they had a running game, or if Gronkowski had been healthy.
I said it would have overcome Gronkowski being hurt.
Or if Brady doesn't throw a terrible ball on the first throw of the game, or a terrible ball to Welker.
That's kind of what my point
there's
is.
A lot of ifs there.
So many
the butterfly
layers.
Effect.
There's so many layers to
no, the
situation.
Point is that they're not that far.
Everybody agrees that.
But we know that they're very good.
Right.
And that's our point. That's why we wanted Akeem Tlaib, because they're not that far. Slight improvements could be the difference. You only think major improvements are worth it. Otherwise, they're so far away. What's the point?
Because of who he is. I'm weighing that. That was the whole premise of
he took an Adderall. That's who he is.
Oh, really? That's what
you're
saying? Yeah.
Okay. For this year, that's the big thing. He took an Adderall.
All right. Now you sound like me.
Yeah, I don't like that, Andy.
We all know people who've
tell
taken that.
Andy.
Okay, if that's your stance, that's
tell
your
that
stance.
Andy to come back with the other Andy. I don't like that, Andy.
Because you know you don't believe your
well,
own.
Well, this year I actually do.
Do you?
I mean,
for the suspension?
Yeah. For all I know,
well,
he was going to have a, you know,
you don't really think he's
perfect
taking Adderall,
child year.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
I think they're all probably taking Adderall. It's probably taking it for a reason.
I guess the kids do that now.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yes. The kids do a
that's
lot of
a
stuff.
Drug for ADD
I think.
Or something?
Yeah.
No, but wait a minute. That's no weirder than sucking on. You know,
what?
No, like they take inhalants or like those computer board cleaners. I mean, yeah, at least this is a drug designed for ingestion.
Kids inhale all sorts of things.
Kids are also pouring, like, hard liquor right into their eyeballs.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
What?
Yeah.
To get in the
eyeballs.
Faster?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, the rock stars used to just use an IV and pour it into their blood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What?
People have problems.
The Adderall helps you study, though. It helps you stay up all night.
And I'm sure that's exactly why Brandon Spikes.
But, like, how are they getting it?
I'm
like,
saying if you
you're going to the kid with the ADD and stealing his Adderall? How are they getting their hands on Adderall?
I believe Brandon Spikes has ADD, based on his Twitter life and everything.
But that's not, but
he's
that's
all
not
over the map.
That's not the point. And I'll guarantee that there's going to be one of these days, it's always like 8 years later they catch up. They're always behind the chemist. You're going to find out that Adderall is a blocker for something.
Oh, that's what I mean.
You know, that's far more serious and far more effective as a PED. That's what we always find out. After, you know, like the hockey players used to get busted for propecia all the time. Everybody like, well, he's bald? He's trying to grow hair? No, he's trying to block what he's really taking from you detecting it. That's why he's taking it.
Well, I remember, I don't know if it's still a big thing, but, you know, they would break off the ammonia capsules and sniff them on the sideline.
Brady does that.
And you go on the sideline, and it's just littered with this stuff. I can't imagine that's good for you. I don't know.
I don't think it's bad for you.
No?
That's one thing that, I mean, that's been around for
ammonia. If you do it a lot, it doesn't.
Oh, it probably burns the inside of your nasal passages.
Well, what about brain cells?
Oh, I'm not sure it's a brain issue.
No?
No.
Okay.
I think it's more, it could burn the inside of your nasal, that kind of, and Brady does it all. Ask Brady.
I know.
He should be studied because he does it all the time.
Remember the old, I forget the name of it. It would come in a little tube, you unscrew it, and it would be for sinus congestion.
Mm-hmm. Afrin?
I know that if you did that too much, it was bad for
you. Yeah, oh yeah, it's addictive.
Well, you can get addicted to Afrin, absolutely.
Yeah. So
I got a friend who is.
Let's see, Kevin writes in, hey Fred, Paul, and D-Bag, I haven't been able to listen until today.
Hey, is that me or Eric?
I wanted to share a story with you about a football locker room banter. A story about football locker room banter. We had a guy on our team that would always put Vaseline between his legs every day before practice and games.
I never heard of that.
He's waiting for the Andy inappropriate comment here. No?
I don't know. I mean,
I never heard of that.
It could be for chafing, maybe. Anyway, he
could
said
be.
He
so
said
he's fat and his legs are like rubbing.
He said he would do this to avoid chafing. Oh, of course, that's what he just said. anyway, the last day of practice, my senior year, we put some Bengay in the Vaseline and mixed it up. The guy started getting the lube and even said, "Man, I smell Bengay." Another one of my buddies said, "Oh, that's my back," which was legit because he had a back injury. Anyway, the guy went ahead, put the Vaseline on. About 10 minutes later, he went effing crazy.
Yeah.
We all died laughing. He was pissed. To his credit, he went through the entire practice without taking the Vaseline off.
Yeah, they did that a lot on my team. I told you, I did it accidentally one night. I
tubes, creams, Andy was
put Vicks on my chest and then forgot to rub my hands off before I adjusted myself, and I had Vicks on my nuts. Boy, did that.
Adjusted yourself?
No, I didn't do that. I literally just adjusted
my
sock. Because I would have known better than to do that with Vicks on my hand. And that really burned. And like, not good. But yeah, Icy Hot, they used to always put in people's jock straps, in their pants, in their, they would put it in their helmet so it would get in their forehead and then go down their eyes.
Yeah, the Bengay was always, Icy Hot and Bengay were, those were big things. Always around the locker room.
Paul didn't care for it.
Yeah, that was good, clean fun. It wasn't like you
had to. Oh, that's good, clean fun. A guy crying and, you know, his testicles are on fire. That's good, clean fun.
Was the guy
God
not
forbid
allowed
you spray down a field and make people dive on a wet ball.
Was the guy not allowed to be on the team if he didn't
do
it? No.
None of these are that.
That's what hazing is.
Well, that's
either,
not what any
do
of these
this or you're not one of us. That's what hazing
well,
is.
Well, that's a different. Now you didn't.
But
now
that's what I'm
just
talking about. I'm anti-hazing.
You just changed your. Is he on the team or is he one of us? Because there's a difference between those two things.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
Well, there is. They're not going to get kicked off the team, but are they one of us?
I know.
Is a difference.
Well, you're ostracized.
Bill Belichick would be
kicked. Exactly.
Right.
To me, that's you're not on the team. You're
right.
Ostracized.
You're not part of the
you're
team.
Out.
Okay. That's different.
You're out.
But either, is that
that's
okay?
What I'm saying. Now, you know, does the kid who gets that done to him, does he then run to the coach and say, "They put Icy Hot on my jock strap"? I mean, that's different to me than being,
wait,
you
are
know,
you for that or against
no,
that? I'm confused.
I'm against that.
You're against the Icy Hot and against the telling.
He's against jockstrap.
I didn't like Andy, this is like porn. You know
he's
hazing.
Against cup and balls.
You know what I'm talking about with hazing. You know, against a guy's
no,
will.
No, I think you think something's hazing that I don't
against
think is hazing.
Against a guy's will, to me, is hazing. That's not to you. We definitely disagree.
I mean, hazing to me is, you know,
broomsticks up the ass and teabagging.
That's rape.
No, that, yes, that's rape. Sexual
to
assault.
To me, hazing is all.
That's not hazing.
To me, hazing is illegal. To me, all in good fun is legal. That's where the, I think hazing is illegal.
Right.
I don't think the other stuff is hazing.
Yeah.
I don't think the stuff they do here.
But you feel as long as the broomstick doesn't have splinters, it's all in good fun.
Yes, he feels that he gets to be the drummer.
Wait a minute.
He decides what's
not
good
all,
fun.
Not all, I mean, hazing can be looked at as bullying, and not all bullying is illegal. But it is not unethical.
What?
And it's only in good fun to the people who are
having
fun. Right?
I agree with Eric.
Andy's point was that it has to be illegal for it to be hazing. But
I think.
Right.
I think we, like,
so you think that
physical or.
But there are certain acts that are, that can be deemed bullying slash hazing that aren't illegal, but they are wrong to
like
do.
What? Give me an example. And I'll tell you whether it's hazing or good fun.
If you. Well, I'm trying to think.
I love this song. Andy goes, give me an example. I'll tell you if it's hazing or
think
good
about
fun.
Your times at St. Mark's, what
like,
they did to you.
For example, St. Paul's. But
for example, anything that involves any sort of sex, penetration, spunk, teabagging is all.
We can wipe all that out because we all
illegal
agree.
And
we all agree on
the
that.
The person who did it is a psycho.
Okay, what about just like verbal harassment? That can be a form of hazing. Like you constantly. You know, berate the person or call them names or whatever. That's not technically illegal.
Pretend they're gay when they're not.
I'm not giving Paul
to me,
look
though,
now. That's not illegal,
that's bullying.
But that's hazing.
That's I don't believe it is. I think, to me,
because
that's not
hazing
a thing.
Is a tradition.
That's clear that
thing.
No one likes that kid, and they're just, that is not part of, you know, we've all done this. It's
right.
Part of what everyone does when they become part of the team, military, what
spanking.
Have you.
What? Spanking with the wooden paddle.
Yeah, I don't. I think that's.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah, I think that's hazing. That's assault,
brother.
That's assault. I don't care for that. To me, hey.
How about sleep deprivation?
Well, what do you mean?
Yeah,
I think
they
that's hazing.
Stay up all night.
Well, you're talking about all these stupid pledge things.
Well, yeah, that's.
Yeah,
hazing.
Those are all stupid, and those are all hazing.
And that's
they're
not illegal, but that is.
Oh,
hazing.
It should
not
be
illegal.
It should be illegal.
But it isn't.
To me. The initiation stuff is fun. Like, it's not.
It's fun. It's fun if the person receiving it thinks it's fun.
No, not necessarily.
Not if they
because not everybody thinks it's fun at the
that's
time.
That's kind of the way I feel.
Most people don't like it at the time. Like, they didn't want their head shaved necessarily.
I'm
they
halfway
didn't want
in
their.
Between the two of you. I think that there are initiation rites can be fun. And even if it's uncomfortable for the person being initiated, at the end of the day, it makes them more. You did it. Now you're with us.
Right, but
you
like the slip and slide thing that they do out here.
Yeah,
I think I find it hard to believe that any of the players would vehemently object to having to do that.
Right, but
because
right.
It's not really an imposition on you.
Right,
you know.
But
what
about a haircut?
But what if there were players that did and said, you know what, I really don't want to do this. I don't feel comfortable doing it.
Then they shouldn't
done.
Have to do it.
But they'd be done.
I think if there's some.
Why would
done.
You not do it?
I would absolutely do
but
that.
That's
I
my
did,
point.
That's the
what,
stuff that
that's
I did.
The difference. Hazing is something to me you'd have a good reason to not do it. No one to me has a good reason
to not want to have a wet foot.
All right,
I have an example.
How about the hair?
And they give you an out. If you want to keep your hair, we'll take your eyebrow.
I'll give you an extreme example.
I think that proves it's okay.
But let's say for argument's sake that the guy was getting married or something. I had to go to a wedding, and that's why he didn't want. He wanted to avoid. Avoid it, and
yeah, I don't
you
think
take
so.
Your eyebrow out instead.
I'll give you an extreme example,
and you tell the story. I've now been initiated. I'm a New England Patriot.
I'll give you an extreme example, Andy.
No,
let's assume
no black and white.
Let's say one of these players, like let's say like Eric Catani, who's was in the military. Let's say he was serving overseas, was taken prisoner, was waterboarded, and came back and had an extreme fear of water type things like that. No,
I'm
just
pretty
saying
sure they wouldn't
an extreme
do
example.
Then that would be hazing.
And
that would
he
not
shouldn't
be
have
in
to
good
do it,
fun.
But he shouldn't be cut from
and
the team because of
and
it.
And he wouldn't
it's
be.
Also in the Navy.
And he wouldn't be.
Kind of hard
I'm
to
just trying to think of an extreme.
Could you get any more extreme
having
than that?
Having a fear of water is not.
There's no chance of that. And, like, even out. Like, if somebody had an allergy to water, not an allergy, to water, they wouldn't do it. Like, to me, that's the crossover, yeah. Is the actual, no, like...
I think anything
like
that...
the thing in old school, when they tie the brick to, right, their penises and drop it,
right,
to me, that is the perfect initiation.
No, they except threat, for the... they threaten to drop it.
No, they do drop, no, it, except the one, except guy goes one... through the manhole.
Well, right.
Yeah, the rope is supposed to be longer
than...
Right, right. And, like, you know, fall back. Oh, right. I fell back, you caught me, great. Right. Well, if you don't catch him, it becomes hazing and assault. If you catch 7 of the 8, that's where it crosses over.
Hazing is supposed to be part physical... part mental. How much, right, do you want to be with us?
Right.
What are you willing to do?
And that brick, yeah, thing is perfect.
Yeah.
You're not. No one's supposed to get hurt. It's not supposed to be painful. It's just this, like, mind F.
Would
you know,
you
it's
do
a mind
it?
F.
Yeah. Would you do it? How much do you want to be one of us?
Right. And I think that's to a different. I think fraternities take it to the nth degree, way too much. It's like a whole week, and it's disgusting, and it's,
well, most
to
of
me
the,
abysmal.
Most of that stuff is mental, like Fred says. They make it out to,
right,
be something that's gross, but,
yeah,
it really isn't.
A good portion of it isn't. There's at least one on every campus pretty much every year that gets in trouble for something that's above and beyond.
Right, they go over the line.
Right.
Right.
I think the sports generally don't go over the line, cuz I think generally in sports you have people that want to be good teammates. They want to be a unit. They want to be together, and they know that there's a point you cross where this isn't a bonding thing, this is a fracturing thing.
But if they
thing.
Didn't do these things, you know, after a while you wouldn't look at it, that wouldn't be the only way to bond to a team.
No, that's probably true. That's
they
probably
do it because
too.
That's the way they've always done it, and their,
right,
brothers did it, and
but
their
that's
fathers
where traditions
did it.
Come
and,
from.
You know, moronic behavior for decades is going to continue to.
Yeah, but you think it's moronic.
Moronic
I don't.
Behavior. No, I'm saying when it crosses the example that you used, I agree with it. I can't possibly imagine someone saying, "I don't want to slide through the water before I practice football," but someone might not want to do it. I agree with you. I can't see that,
well, then
particular
you're out.
Example.
Then you're not a member of us.
But that's where I disagree with you.
Yeah, I know.
I might
if
need that guy
so
to be my teammate, and I might need him.
Right,
and,
which means he might decide, I don't
if,
want to
but
make
if,
this
but
block.
If he doesn't have every,
I don't want to do this. But, I don't want to play in this game. It's raining
but
out.
But before the season, if he doesn't have every like-minded thought as me, I can't rely on him. I don't agree,
yeah,
with that.
I don't want him.
I might need him to help me, and I need to.
You come from a different school, though. You skipped training camp and were allowed on the team. It's a total different mentality where you came from.
Yeah, well,
he was the Albert Hainsworth of his day.
Some,
right,
people are talented enough to do that.
No.
Coaches make exceptions.
He should have been
Jimmy
a high motor player who wasn't.
Hi ho. Jimmy Johnson would have had me up there. You know what I'm saying? He would have woken me up in the meeting.
Yeah, I don't think so. To pick up his clipboard for him and his wire to carry it.
Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398.
I like that story, though. I mean, that makes me look a lot more talented than I really was.
Patrick in Brooklyn. Hey, Patrick.
How you guys doing?
Good.
What's up?
Want to touch on the situation with the defensive backs.
Okay.
Dowling at this point has got to be considered a bust. And on this basis, being a football player in the NFL, whether you're lucky or unlucky, you've got to stay on the field. Patrick Chung is only a couple inches away from the guy. So Dowling, you get the impression right now that Belichick probably could have waited for this guy to heal, but just doesn't want to deal with it anymore. So I wouldn't be shocked if Dowling ends up being cut in training camp next year. Patrick Chung, the reason for the McCourty move to safety is that Chung is off the field to the point where I think they're frustrated. I don't think he gets re-signed. The new guy, Tlaib, it's a good signing from a performance standpoint. However, if you examine the signing, it reeks of a desperation move by Belichick, and it also says if Belichick will sign a guy who he and his mom actually got into a shootout with a family member's boyfriend, it's so hypocritical because Belichick once cut a guy for throwing hot water on someone, a lineman or something. So it's really strange that, you know, he would take this kind of a leap for a guy with a rap sheet. I mean, this guy's got a jacket thicker than some guys in the hood. I mean, it's
well,
strange.
I mean, it comes to, I remember that incident. It was a defensive lineman, I think.
Offensive lineman, Kenyatta
Jones.
J.R.
Redmond might have been involved.
Kenyatta
in it.
Jones.
Kenyatta
was the guy.
Jones, right.
He threw it on his assistant.
He also had a little knife game that he played in front of a supermarket that. But it's.
Never heard
down,
that.
Kenyatta Jones?
Yeah.
Say again?
He got cut. He was playing like a stupid little game in front of a mall or something and got cut or something. But anyway.
No, but the only thing I would say.
I think what you're talking about is what Jimmy Johnson was talking about. Akeem Talib's talented.
Well, he's also didn't do it here. If he does that here, he might be gone.
True.
Greg Schiano said, you're gone.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick didn't.
Yeah.
You know, Greg Schiano might take Kenyatta Jones and say, well, maybe it'll be different
right,
here.
You right.
know, there's a difference between doing it under your watch and having it on your rep sheet.
I agree. I think if he does one of those things, I think he'd be gone.
My theory on they're frustrated with Chung, and not that it's really Chung's fault, but again, part of being a football player, you can't achieve greatness in the NFL unless you can stay on the field. Chung can't stay on the field.
Well, I agree with
yeah,
that.
I agree,
I mean, and I don't know the level of their frustration, but I'm sure they'd rather have him out there, and I'm sure
it
bothers
the,
them.
It was the only redeeming value that Brandon Merriweather had, is that he generally played 16 games. Yeah. He didn't do anything to me that I liked on the field, but he played every game, and that's not something that you just flippantly bypass
Absolutely.
In the NFL. Not a lot of guys are able to do that.
It's what we always talk about when everybody says Edelman can replace Welker.
Yeah.
Well, can he? For 4 weeks a year or for actually 16?
There'll be a couple of games he'll be able to do it, but I don't think he'll be able to do it over 16 games.
He can replace
him for
a play or two, that's it.
Right.
But I want to go back to the secondary again, which is my pet peeve.
Is this Mike Francesa?
I believe if Chung were healthy, they'd give him one more shot, and it'll be this season only. They'll put Chung back at the strong where he belongs. He is terrible as a center fielder. They'll put Chung in the strong, let McCourty be the free safety, put the guy Tlaib and the other guy Dennard as the two main corners, and then we'll rotate in Arrington and I guess the other guy that would be left is Wilson and
Gregory.
So what about Gregory?
Gregory would be one of the rotating safeties. I think at that point you've got a solid backfield. The problem Belichick, again, is having is there's no continuity back there. And this, again, unless Chung shows us something really good in the second half of the season and can stay out there, I think he doesn't get re-signed. And lastly, can you guys tell me what the injury is that Bolden has
left knee
for so long?
Left knee.
Oh, left knee. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
All right,
Patrick. Thanks, Patrick.
Let's hope Tlaib left his gun in.
Okay. All right.
I think
I like
right.
the
Let's
idea of
did.
Keeping. I like the idea.
There's
that he
a place
has,
right down the street that says guns and ammo. If he left his gun in Tampa, he could buy a new
Boy,
one.
You are unbelievably
actually
fixated
wait,
on the exact words of what
no
everybody
kidding.
Says.
No time out. There's a Bass Pro Shop less than 100 yards from the stadium.
The
where
inference is that he does not have a need to use a gun.
I think he was
here
being
in New England.
It.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I do like.
If he brought it with him, he'd get in trouble on the plane.
I like. Yeah. Well, that too. I like his idea though of keeping Dennard on the field, which I think at this point he's probably one of your best corners.
I don't know. Isn't it too early to say that right
yes,
now?
Yes, but
is,
at this point he is.
At this point he is.
Yeah.
So you're both right.
I'm not saying he's going.
At worst, he's three. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Right
so
now,
I like the
in
idea
my opinion.
Of yeah. keeping him on the field and keeping McCourty and keeping Tlaib.
Yep.
And the only way to do that is you take one of the safeties out, and that has to be
now,
either Gregory or Chung.
I know Tavon Wilson in college played both positions.
Yes.
We haven't seen him a lot at corner. Is there a time where we might?
If you can't cover at safety, can you cover a corner?
I don't know if he's Eugene Wilson-esque in that way.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him do it.
Look overly fluid to where I say, this guy's a corner.
Yeah.
And the other aspect he brought up is, you know, you got to get Chung, he's strong safety. He doesn't play a lot of deep center field, A. And B, in today's NFL, you can't just say, I'm going to be a strong safety. I don't cover. Excuse
right.
me, boss. I don't cover.
I think
I'm a run safety.
Right.
That doesn't work anymore.
Think, yeah, it doesn't.
If you can't
it
cover,
doesn't.
You can't play.
That's right. Yeah. It's not that way anymore.
Right.
Yep.
And that's
now,
why.
The one trouble is, they actually, I thought, put him in coverage situations. They would choose to have him in the star position at times, covering in the slot. And I was like, why are you doing that? That makes no sense. And but
well, he's supposed to knock him off his route, maybe, and, you know.
Burn the gun.
Yeah. All right, Omar.
It's a dangerous game.
Omar in Tucson is on the line. Hey, Omar.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, doing good.
I've got a quick question. If you guys had the power to make one player healthy on the team, who would that be?
One player healthy?
Hmm. Yeah, one player, like, you know, make them 100% for the rest of the season.
Okay.
Gronk?
My first thought
Hernandez.
Would be Brady because he's a... But he's played through injuries before, and he's played at a high level.
Right. He's also not hurt right
so
now.
So I was also thinking...
For all we know.
Gronk. Well, I'm just saying it's hypothetical if Brady was hurt.
I'd go Hernandez.
Gronk, I would go
Gronk,
Hernandez,
Gronk
too,
or Hernandez.
I think with Hernandez, the injury affects him more than Gronk.
Yeah.
Gronk's looked fine. He might be dinged up, but he's, you know, evolved
still
to where he's had
at a
big
high
games.
Level. Hernandez has done nothing all
right.
year.
Give me Hernandez at full bore, and I got my offense at full bore, and I blow people out.
Yeah, I agree, though. I agree with you guys. It has to be one of the two tight ends, and I would probably
Yeah, because I was at first,
but
Spikes
is an issue,
defense,
too.
But I don't know. I think I'd rather have my offense going.
Can we pretend McCourty's been hurt for a year and a half and say McCourty?
Well, that, but the way
I think you almost have to eliminate anybody on defense.
The way Spikes plays the game, if I can guarantee he can continue being a battering ram and not get hurt, that
feels like he's 18.
That's a big plus.
When he was apparently hurt,
really
in practice.
Old, right?
What?
Yeah, he's all of 24.
No, but I mean,
but the problem is, he feels like he's 18 and he's not practicing. He's missing time on the bike.
Yeah, we were joking yesterday that who knew that Brandon Spikes was banged up and missed all the practices when he
was
18.
Thanks, Omar.
I was here for that.
Oh,
because that's when I said my practice report.
ever since you said that, he's
right.
Been out of practice.
I can't believe time has flown
the way it has, but it's time to do picks. It's quarter of. I can't believe it.
How are we going to make it through?
We're going to have to hurry as Fred coughs up.
Well, what I particularly enjoyed was one of the first callers said, I know you guys have been talking a lot about Tlaib the last couple of days.
Not on this show.
Not today.
Hadn't mentioned his name until you brought it up.
Well, yeah, not today, but the last couple.
Also wasn't very quick in making those three quick points.
Well, he said, I'm going to make three quick points, and I'm going to make them quick.
Okay,
you said that
this
already.
Week's PFW
by adding that word, you're making it slow.
Sponsored by Subway Restaurants. Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots.
And Fred Kirk.
But not a PFW in progress.
Yeah, get us some subs. I like that chicken teriyaki. All right, Paul, I take it I won last week?
No,
what?
Quite the opposite. It was a dominant week, though, for all of us. Andy won at 12-2. Woo! Eric and I went 11-3, and Fred went 10-4.
Oh.
With the spread, Andy also won at 11-3. I went 10-4. Eric went 9-5, and Fred went 7-7.
Wow.
Season standings as follows.
Moving on up.
Paul remains in the lead because he does the book. 94-38. Andy 85-47. Eric 84-48.
You have a 9-game lead,
and I'm one behind you in the paper.
You definitely do the book. Just BS.
Proceed, Paul.
We have basically. I'm only like two or three games different than I am in the paper. You, on the other hand, have about a 10-game difference.
Yeah, because you sabotage my picks.
Okay.
You can't do it in the paper.
All right. Anyway,
the only thing you sabotage is Read and React by putting Chris Sims.
Fred is 64-40. With a spread, I am 67-60-5. Andy 64-63-5. Eric,
now, does that,
57-70.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
That's like the first time in a year and a half I think I've been above 500.
Eric, 57-70-5. And Fred is 49-49-4.
First time I haven't been over 500 ever.
Who cares?
All right.
This week,
just to recap, Fred went 7-7 with the spread and is now 49-49-4.
Let's
do with that information what you will.
Let's see. Indianapolis at Jacksonville Thursday night, 8:33 start. Indianapolis
by 3.
I will take the Indianapolis Colts to continue to roll emotionally. They did the head shaving this week for their head coach, and it helps that they're facing the Jags.
Yeah, who would have thought that the Colts under rookie Andrew Luck would have won 6 games already?
And if the Patriots get upset, they could have a better record than you.
Who
heading into
thunk?
A matchup.
I will take the Colts to win and cover easily.
I will take the Colts. I'm not anywhere near as confident about it as my colleagues. I think this screams of one of those, reverse lock
Anything
type
can
things.
Happen?
Jacksonville's terrible.
Yes.
Terrible. And I can't pick them to pull off the upset because of that. But Indianapolis is not very good.
Yeah.
This is a great, great
story.
But
they're a lot not very
good.
Their new
owner in Jacksonville, Khalib?
Khan.
Shahid.
Shahid.
What am I thinking of?
Shahid Khan.
Shahid Khalib. Who's Shahid Khalib?
You're thinking of Akib
Khalib.
That's
the guy from UConn.
Oh.
Wasn't there an?
I thought he was talking about Akib Tlaib.
That's what I thought.
Wasn't there elite Khalid El Amin? No,
Khalid El Amin played
it's
it.
It's like 100 years ago.
Yeah, that was a long
that's
time.
That's not
ago.
What I mean.
He had my build.
You don't know what you mean because before you definitively said Larry Allen, and it wasn't Larry Allen.
He was a point guard who was like 5'10", 290 pounds.
Yeah,
he had my build.
Bastard.
All right. I said he had my build. You didn't have to get me.
Shahid Khan has said that he's not coming out and saying it, but it's pretty much apparent that he's going to make changes at the end of the season. He said he's embarrassed by the play of the team.
He should.
Mike Mularkey, still, you getting all this stuff down now? Do you feel more comfortable?
He hired a terrible coach.
Yeah.
What did you expect? You have a terrible team in a terrible city with a terrible coach. You're
going to be
terrible.
He hired a guy who thought that the best option for his team on 4th-and-1 was to roll out Drew Bledsoe.
I mean,
I love Drew Bledsoe, as you guys know.
Stiff
like
of all
no other.
Stiffs.
That is the last play I would call with Drew Bledsoe as my quarterback. Anyway, what do you got?
I'll go with Indy. Sunday at 1, Oakland at Baltimore. We got to hurry.
We don't. John Rook's not here.
Baltimore by 7.5.
He's not here?
I will take Baltimore to win and cover because I hate Carson Palmer. One of the worst trades, maybe the worst trade in NFL history.
Worse than Herschel Walker?
It's a good argument for that in the modern era.
Yeah. Worst trade in NFL history.
You think the Vikings made out more in that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. They,
I think Carson Palmer blows.
They acquired a better player.
Talent. Okay.
And I think they gave up a comparable amount of draft picks.
Carson Palmer blows.
I will take the Ravens to win at home and to cover because I agree. The Raiders are not a good team.
I will take the Ravens to win. However, I will take the points. I like that half point dangling at the end. And
what is it? What's the number?
7.5.
I'll take Baltimore both ways. Denver at Carolina.
Denver by 4.
I am going to take Denver to win and cover, but I don't feel great about it. I think Denver might be getting a little high on its horse and might be due for a chopping at the knee, but I can't pick the Fred Kirsch MVP choice of Carolina Panthers and Carson, whatever his name is. Cam Newton. I was going to call him Carson Palmer.
Broncos are playing well at home and on the road, and Newton, he had a good game against RG3 last week, won the game, but aberration. Manning will go in and pick him apart.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Andy. I'm not necessarily completely sold on Denver yet. I still think they're getting used to one another, but I think they have enough to get this one done on the road. Their schedule gets awfully light in the second half, so these are the games they have to win. And if they do, who knows how we're going to look at this team at the end of the year. They might be, you know, with Baltimore and Houston and New England as one of the contenders.
Has anyone ever won Comeback Player of the Year and MVP in the same season?
That's a great question, Andy.
I don't know.
Is he going to win Comeback Player of the Year? Because Adrian Peterson had a pretty good year, too.
I'll split it up. I'll say Denver wins, Carolina covers.
They could pull an Andy and just vote for Manning as MVP, and you're kind of insinuating he wins everything else, so then you pick Peterson as your
Giants
comeback
at player. Cincinnati, Sunday at 1. Giants at Cincinnati.
Giants by 4.
Giants will win by more than 4.
What does my sheet say?
Takes you this long to read? What a bleeping monkey.
Well, because it's not in the same order. One of their papers is not in the same order.
I have to deal with Fred
one of
every
the
week.
Tabs, one of the tabs on the Tebow emails was, what causes wet dreams?
Not having sex for 48 years.
I will take the Giants to win on the road.
Satin sheets.
I don't really like either of these teams, but I think the Giants have... I think they are the better team. I don't think they have more talent, but I think they're the better team. So I think that's why I'll take them.
Yeah, I'll take the Giants here. I think they bounce back after poor performance last week against Pittsburgh, a game that they probably should have lost going away.
I think Cincy has talented individuals.
The officiating.
More than the Giants do, but the Giants are better collectively as a team.
Do you think Cincinnati has more talent than the Giants, huh? Wow, you must think a lot of Marvin Lewis.
Especially a quarterback.
I mean, the Giants have the two best receivers in the NFL, according to one of these callers that said, you know, don't blame Aqib Talib.
I'll take the Giants as well. Sunday at 1, Tennessee at Miami.
Miami by 6.
I'll take Miami to win and cover. Tennessee.
I'll take the Dolphins at home, yeah, over a Tennessee team that's not very good.
They're in shambles. Isn't the owner threatening everybody?
Yeah, he did.
Threatening?
Bud Adams.
Not like physically, but like you're out.
But he wanted to take him.
Then he flipped him off.
I'll take Miami, too. I'm not thrilled with giving up 6 points to them. That's a bad offense.
Yeah.
But Tennessee really has not
there
played
There goes
well.
Reggie Bush.
Yeah,
takes
I'll
that
go
chicken.
With, Miami as well. And to cover Detroit at Minnesota, Sunday at 1.
Detroit is a road favorite at Minnesota by 2.
Detroit is a favorite in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to take Minnesota. I do not like Detroit.
Somebody hurt from Minnesota? Is
no.
No, they're not missing anybody?
Not that I know.
You took Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm taking Minnesota. I don't like Detroit.
I do like Detroit, and I like them on the road in this game.
All right.
Yeah,
because the paper in front of him said so.
Well, it's my pick in the paper. I'm going by my pick.
Yeah, I think Detroit is making a little bit of a run here. I think they are talented, and obviously they haven't played up to their potential. Very often, but I think Minnesota stinks, and you're starting to see that now the last couple of weeks. I think that continues, and Detroit gets a road win.
I think I'm going to go with Minnesota both ways in this game.
Fred.
Sunday at 1, Atlanta at New Orleans. Atlanta at New Orleans.
Atlanta by 2.5.
This, from afar, will look like a good win for Atlanta, but not really, because New Orleans isn't really that good. And people have, like, the image of New Orleans in their head rather than the actuality. But I will take Atlanta to go on the road and win. If they don't win this, then they certainly are a fraud, and they should fall to further than number three in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
But they won't.
But that's what's going to happen, Andy, because they are going to lose their first game of the year.
Then they'll move up to number one.
And they'll rise. Yeah, they probably will rise.
I hate you all.
But I think the Saints at home win this game.
I agree with Eric. I think the Saints will win the game. I think these teams are very comparable despite the gap in their record.
Yeah, I'm going to give Atlanta a little bit more credit than that and say that they win this game on the road.
It's tough. Division game, Freddie.
It's true. San Diego at Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay by three.
Ooh, that's interesting. San Diego, I didn't think was all that impressive despite never trailing and playing Kansas City. I watched some of that, and I don't care for them.
That Kansas City stat is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. They have not led in a game all year. They won one game, and they took the lead on the last play of the game.
Right.
That's amazing to me.
I'm going to take Tampa. Just, you know, this is a Eric's thing. The more talented team may be San Diego, but that doesn't mean they're the better team, and the better team at home will win. And then Eric's going to get ready to say...
conflicted here. I'm conflicted here
now
because...
Now he picks just for a song.
No. Last week, I picked against the Chargers.
Tampa.
I picked against the Chargers last week, and they burned me.
You picked the Chiefs?
I picked the Chiefs last week, even though it was in San Diego.
So they didn't burn you. Your own brain burned you.
That's what happened.
That was pure idiocy.
I thought the game was in Kansas City. Right, and then I stuck with the pick.
Kansas City hasn't led in Kansas City or on the road.
I also picked in the paper this week, I picked the Buccaneers. But I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to pick against...
Love it too because it sounds so gay.
I just like that we have like a shtick. Eric goes, I'm going to go with.
Eric has
and
such,
he points to Kevin.
Eric has such a satisfied look on his face when he.
Yeah,
you know,
I like
and
it.
He hits
it's
the
part
cue.
Of the shtick
like
now.
He
I mean,
hits
you know?
The cue.
I'm going to take Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay is a flat out better team. I don't think either one of these teams are very good. They're middling at best. I think they're both 4-4.
That makes them good in this year's NFL.
So I go with my home team theory. I actually think Tampa Bay, and I've gotten to see a little of them the last couple of weeks because they played on Thursday night a few weeks ago, and then I was home last week and saw a lot of their game against Oakland with the muscle hamster guy just running running wild. So I think Shiano's doing a pretty good job there. I'm not sure I like him based on some of the interaction that we get, but I think he's putting together a decent team. And Freeman has played pretty well.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay as well. San Diego, they're falling apart. All right, Sunday, 4:05, the Jets at Seattle.
Seattle by 6.5.
Mm. Wow.
I will take Seattle to win and cover. I don't love the number, but to me this is a game where they could beat up on Sanchez, beat up on the Jets, and you'll see a team that's weak in the heart and in the head cave in and get beat up in the end of the game.
I like Seattle at home, too. They're a tough team to beat out there.
No, they suck, Paul says.
And I like the Jets to be competitive for a while, but I think late Seattle pulls away, wins by about 10.
I agree with Andy's description. I think that Seattle will... prove the Jets to be very mentally weak, and they will beat them down. They just don't have enough offense to go against a good defense like that. And I think that they'll get bludgeoned in this game. I think Seattle wins,
but I'm going to take those points. I think the Jets' defense still can compete, and obviously Seattle's offense isn't that great. So I think they keep it close, but Seattle wins. Dallas at Philadelphia. This is probably the most interesting game. Both teams absolutely desperate. Sunday at 4:25, Dallas at Philadelphia.
Dallas by one.
What are you laughing at?
We'll get to it.
I am going to take Dallas to win and cover. From what I've seen from that offensive line that lost another player, DeMarcus Ware, this should be a big game for him. And once Mike Vick gets rattled, it's all over, so... Go get Rob Ryan and DeMarcus Ware will make life tough on Vic in his final game.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys to win this too because I think the Eagles are. I think we're seeing the last stages of the Andy Reid era in Philadelphia.
Well, I agree with all of that, but I'm going to take Philadelphia. I'm going to go with my home theory. Two bad teams, I'll take the home team. I just think that at some point, Michael Vick is going to make plays in a game and overcome the stuff that Andy talked about. Andy's right. He's running around for his life every play. At some point, I think you can do it for a game. And I think that they tend to play well against Dallas. Yes. And I think that's what they're going to do here.
I agree. I'm going with Philadelphia in this game. St. Louis at San Francisco, Sunday at 4:25. St. Louis at San Francisco.
By 11.
I would love to take Sam Bradford, but I just can't because that this is going to be another bludgeoning up front. Bradford's probably going to get battered and beat up. That's a bad offensive line, and this is a bad game to have a bad offensive line. San Francisco wins and covers.
Yeah, I agree. I would like to take Sam Bradford, too, because I think the Rams in a division game like that, they're still in the same division, right?
Yeah.
Didn't mean to have escaped me there.
You shouldn't go off the script of your paper.
Voices in the head.
Right. So, but I don't think they're going to in this particular game. Maybe if this were in St. Louis, I might give them a little more credit for that. But nah, Niners win and cover.
Yeah, I agree with the boys, and I don't like laying 11 points with teams like San Francisco that don't score that much. But I will do so here.
Yeah, got to do it. Sunday 8:20. Houston at Chicago. Houston at Chicago.
Chicago's favored by one in the second most interesting game of the week.
Why?
Well, yeah, it's a pretty good game now.
Two, three, and five teams were the most interesting
as
game.
As opposed to the number one and number two team in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
There's no way, like, you know, it can be interesting for other reasons.
Sure, I think the Dallas-Philadelphia game is interesting. Right. I don't think it's more interesting than 2-7-1 teams playing.
Right.
I don't either. This is a battle for the top spot in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
But if you hate the Cowboys as much as I do, then it's, you know, that becomes more interesting.
But you hate the Jets more, so why don't you care about that game?
That was the third most interesting game of the week.
That's the third, right.
I will take the – where's this game?
Chicago.
Spread?
Chicago by one. Basically, you're picking a winner.
I am going to take Houston just
because – get your hand out of your nose.
I like the defense, obviously. J.J. Watt – is one of those guys that's getting some defensive MVP-type chatter. And I am going to take him to get in the head and in the face of Jay Cutler. And we all know when Cutler gets rattled, he goes and has whiskey on the sideline, and it just spirals out of control from there.
This is a really tough game because I think we've seen the NFC sort of exert its dominance
over the AFC
for much of this year. And these are two of the best teams in either conference going up against one another. I'll give the Bears the edge because they're at home, so I think they'll win and cover.
Now, you sure the Bears are still in the NFC? Wait, they're in the NFC, right?
No, I meant division. I was talking about the divisions.
Paul, no, I know.
I'm going to take Houston. This is a tough game to call, though. I hope we get a chance to watch a little of this Sunday night. So let's get our writing done quick, boys, so we can watch the game of the week.
I think Chicago wins this game. I really am impressed by the way they're playing both sides of the ball, but mostly defense.
So then why did you mock the Wilson Hart Power Index?
I don't mock it.
That was me.
Monday, 8:30.
Well, neither of you had the right to mock it, because you hate the Falcons, and they moved down, and you still mocked it, and you just mock it even not knowing what it is.
I just mock it to mock you.
Yeah, yes. But I think less of Chicago than
yourself.
I do Atlanta.
So who should you have number one? You can't. You have to have somebody in the number one slot, the number two slot, the number three slot.
I don't recall bitching at you when Atlanta was number one.
You
were undefeated.
Bitch every week.
We just make fun of it.
Just because I don't think Atlanta's that good.
Well, you know what? You make fun of it, and then the readers make fun of it, and everybody's making fun of it.
Don't
be nice if some people took it seriously.
Don't be so thin-skinned. We're just hazing you.
Andy.
This is not hazing. This is good-natured ribbing. As long as you keep your sack out of my mouth, it's not hazing.
Not illegal.
Hazing.
As is normally the case, Fred.
It's always on his mind.
Well, that's one of the crossover rules. You might be hazing if you pull your schlong out.
Here's the thing, though. We were talking about good-natured ribbing.
Right.
And you have to take
he said hazing. We're hazing.
Right. And you have to take it to teabagging.
That's
and then
what
you're
hazing
about schlongs.
Is to me. And by the way, I don't think they had
that. Because it's always on your mind.
You said it's been happening for 30, 40, 50 years. I don't think they did that 30, 40, 50
about
years
hazing.
Ago. I think this whole teabagging and, like, spunk cookies
Andy,
is something that came in the last 5 to 10 years.
You don't think anything is hazing. That's
no,
the
I
only
do.
Difference.
I think
it has to be sexual
I
assault.
I think teabagging.
For you.
I haven't made it quickly.
That's
Kansas
Andy's
City
Saturday
at
night.
Pittsburgh. Monday night, Kansas
Pittsburgh
City at Pittsburgh.
By 12 and a half.
I will take Pittsburgh to win and cover the debacle that is Scott Pioli's Chiefs just falling apart.
I agree they are falling apart. I'll take the Steelers to win at home, but 12 and a half, that's a big number. I'll take the Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree it's a big number, but I'm going to lay it anyway. Kansas City's just
not
good at football.
Somehow Kansas City stays within the spread. Pittsburgh wins, but they do not cover.
Good at basketball.
Going back to Sunday.
Pittsburgh wins and doesn't cover? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Buffalo at New England.
Patriots by 11.
I will take the New England Patriots to win and cover. I think they're going to blow the Bills off the field. I think they're going to start to some degree the way they finished the last time around. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick will turn the ball over a number of times. I think you'll see a lot of energy and good health coming out of the bye, and that is bad news for Ryan Fitzpatrick in a bad Bills defense. Mm,
yeah, I could see a 21-type point victory.
Oh, yeah.
For New England.
30-something to teens. 38-13, Pats.
Yeah.
I am going to take the cover as well. I'll take the Patriots. 38-23, too much offense. I think they doing just what Andy said. They're going to continue the momentum they started in London offensively, and I think they're going to overwhelm Buffalo.
I can't disagree.
Patriots. You can. I mean, you're contractually allowed to do so.
Patriots both ways. All right, that's it for the picks. This is the Subway restaurants picks.
No, he did not reach for the paper to read it off of.
I don't know if it had a specific
this
name.
Is the Subway restaurant picks.
Go eat the food.
This is the
official training show of Subway.
All right. Screw you all. John Rook is standing by with the Patriots playbook, and at 4 o'clock
is
the
footballnation.com.
He's got his Friars gray on today. It's usually the Friars black.
You want to
a little
stay
gray
tuned?
Black.
He does,
white,
see the hat kind of coordinates with the sweatshirt. He does a good job of that.
Another
thank
full
you.
Day of Patriots.com radio.
Butter and jam.
Don't forget, pregame socials back on Sunday morning. We'll see you next Tuesday.
This song's for Fred. And it's magic if the music is groovy and makes you feel happy like an old-time movie. I'll tell you about the magic and the free old soul, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about a rock and roll. If you believe in magic, don't bother to choose if it's junk band music or rhythm and blues. Just go and listen. It'll start with a smile and wipe off your face no matter how hard.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.